about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos!
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all the stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old, I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Artard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Artard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred, Paul, and Andy here. Eric will be by later.
Eric will be by later?
If the mood strikes him.
He's not by now, right? He's not here.
So he'll be by later.
Right. He'll be straight here.
Nothing going on today anyway.
I doubt it. He'll stop along the way.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
I mean, really, even on the day that the quarterback gets in a car accident, we start off with that?
I just want to
said he's okay.
We're going to get to that. 508-543-7482. This is PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. And, of course, my God, Tom Brady got into an accident this morning. And that has been the news all morning.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Got out of my car here to park, and there's helicopters swooping over here at Gillette Stadium looking for live shots.
Oh, my God. There's
nationwide, there's the web.
There's a parking lot full of satellite trucks here.
All the bigwig news reporters are
Well, the good
are
news,
in
Fred,
town.
And you know how I like this so much with the media. The news guys came out today to get to the bottom of everything.
Oh, yeah. They're all here. But word is, as much
as a sports guy.
You know, Brady is fine. Apparently, somebody ran a red light. Brady smacked into the side of him. Brady was okay. You know, they evaluated him at the scene. He did not go to the hospital. He got a ride somehow to work. I don't know how he got to the Gillette Stadium, but he came right to work. So he's fine. He was at the walkthrough this morning.
Yes.
We'll see if he's at practice this afternoon. We assume he will be, but, you know, we're not making any assumptions here. I just did.
but we assume he will be, but
we're not making any assumptions.
You know what's funny? That kind of came off like an Andyism.
Yeah.
I know what he meant, even though he just contradicted
himself. It's a Casey Stengel. or a Yogi Berra.
Casey Stengel.
You know who Casey Stengel is?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
I'm surprised you do.
I can't believe it. Anyway, so it looks like he's okay.
Yes.
It certainly seems like they dodged a bullet. And Fred, you've dodged a bullet.
I have.
Because you potentially got us all in a lot of trouble. And by all, I mean those of us that work for the New England Patriots and happen to think that Tom Brady is a pretty important part of what we do here.
Right.
You said yesterday.
Right.
That there was a 0.01% chance of him not finishing his career with the Patriots, which is what I said. And then you said, sure, that 0.01 is him getting hit by a car.
Right.
Good job.
He got hit by a car.
We got it out of the way now, so now it's 100%. There's no 0.01 left. It's happened.
Oh, so, God. Just keep those kinds of predictions to yourself.
Okay. So, but Brady is here. All is good.
On a side note.
Yeah.
Or another matter.
Yep.
Randy Moss did not practice yesterday. Illness. Walking through the locker room, he was asked if he's feeling better, and he gave a thumbs up.
Good. Good. So he's fine.
Yeah, he was there. He's fine.
Yeah.
Although it's interesting. We poo-pooed that as normal team procedure. It's Wednesday. Randy Moss doesn't practice on Wednesdays. Veteran day off, you called it, I think, Fred, and we discussed various things. But it's never been listed as illness before, which obviously led to some joking on the radio because it came on the heels of his not wanted comments that he was heart sick and sick in the heart and all these things because he was sad. But I would take them at their word and assume he was actually ill, because I've actually got a little something. I'm coming down with a little nasally thing.
I think his feelings were hurt. But more, I think he was ill.
More importantly,
I'm talking about.
I think we needed to make the clarification, because I think we all assumed yesterday that was similar to last year, where oftentimes, maybe every single week, I don't know if it was every week.
It was not every week, but it was often.
Oftentimes, Wednesdays, he didn't practice. And
right.
We assumed that it was the same kind of thing.
But it was not injury-related.
But it was not listed as illness. No. It was listed as not injury-related.
Do you think an illness related?
You think an illness is an injury?
If you don't practice, they have to list something. And if it's
but not injury-related, if you don't practice.
Not injury-related. I don't consider an illness to be an injury.
Yeah,
I think you could put not interrelated and
although,
not be cheating.
Although a lot of them have always listed flu or something.
I know.
Like
no,
that.
They do.
Yeah.
They typically,
I just don't think you have to.
When a guy is sick, they typically
list Yeah, I don't think you have to
that.
Either.
I would put not injury related.
Although I would make the case that in the spirit of the injury report, it's to determine the at the end of the week anyway, it's to determine the chance of him playing or not. At that point, you need to kind of say, you know,
right,
probable flu. Right. I think at that point,
sure.
You know, you can't say probable,
not
injury related. You
Why?
Know,
why not?
It's not an
because
injury.
Then it, I don't
is
know.
It lying?
It's very
not injury
confusing.
Related. Well, the whole damn thing is confusing.
Yeah.
Listen, we all know, and we certainly don't need to waste more time on the injury report.
Oh God!
But
how many shows have we had on that?
Yeah, a million.
We have much better things to waste time on.
But if you list it as not injury related, I mean, one of the things could be some sort of personal issue. So you could be
right.
Doubtful, questionable, probable with a non-injury
yeah.
related
True.
Classification. Certainly an illness would fall into that.
Yeah. By the way, where is Eric?
He's getting ready to go to
it's
practice.
It's at 1:15.
Was it that late?
It's like 1 o'clock. This is the practice.
Maybe he's working on his update?
Well,
I don't know. Don't yell at me.
I mean,
I'd rather see him working.
If he wants
on...
to just be on Rook's show, that's fine. Let's just get it out there.
Well, to be honest with you, on a day like today, I would rather see him immediately get something on the web. Now, there were a ton of players. First of all, the media was overwhelming today, as we alluded to. There's a million guys
just
there.
Because of this
Oh, absolutely.
Accident.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But there were a number
quiet.
Of players. They were all asked, predictably, about Brady. I heard a little of Fred Taylor. I heard a little of Dan Copen. Little of Algie Crumpler. I didn't really hear too many guys getting into any specifics whatsoever. I wouldn't expect them to. Yeah. Fred Taylor kept saying, I'm more than happy to talk about football in the game. I'm not going to talk about Tom. Matt Light, sort of, as he usually does, he had some good-natured jabs for the media saying,
right.
Guys, you got in a car accident, all right? It's not that big a deal.
Well, I'm with him.
Once
you find out
thing.
He's okay and the other driver's okay, I mean, end of story.
That's what
yes,
Dan
that's
Copen
what you,
said specifically. The media was building it up to more than it is, and then he went
see,
on to say.
I don't know if they did. Do you think the media built it up?
Oh.
No. Do you think the media built it up? I think the media needs to find out all the things that you just said. And once you do,
right.
Now
we're seeing pictures of it
back.
on the TV. Now I'm only kidding. there's a car.
I
like,
turned around and I was like, "That's not serious."
There's a car it like wrapped up
oh,
around
good.
A tree.
Now we're making light of it. Good, good.
Oh, fallen
scroll.
Fallen state trooper as well.
Nice.
Thanks,
nice,
Fred.
What the hell is wrong with you?
But, you know, my point being is I think that once the media finds out all the things that you said, Fred, I think they're guilty of sensationalizing
right.
if they continue to pile on. And
well, reportedly it was the lead story on SportsCenter and the Drudge Report had it. I mean, that shows how big a news it is. Drudge Report does not cover sports.
Why did the Drudge Report have
Because he's Tom frickin' Brady, I guess.
But did they have it first?
No. They just most of their stories are just links to stories.
Yeah.
So, but just the fact that it's included on the Drudge Report, to me, tells you how global, as we've discussed in the past, Tom Brady is.
I guess so. What I would hate to see is if this person that got hit, I don't know, but from what I understand, that person kind of ran a red light and break.
Reportedly.
But once they find out, oh, it's Tom Brady that hit me, my back hurts, you know, that kind of stuff.
It's possible.
You know?
It certainly has happened in other cases.
Well, that's why, you know, I think the media, when they found out that Tom was sort of evaluated on the scene and declined any further medical attention and decided to go to practice, I think the sports media, specifically WEEI, sort of exhaled and said, well, thank goodness it's not a serious injury and Tom's going to be okay. Well, that's not potentially the end of it for Tom,
right?
Because of what you just said, Phil.
Right.
I immediately started thinking of things like that, and I don't know, blame or not, but worst case scenario, what if there were blame,
right,
on Tom? You know, what if it was his fault and the person is seriously injured? That could affect him.
Plus,
that,
even health-wise, he could feel it tomorrow afternoon or whenever.
Yeah. I mean, anybody that's been in a car accident knows that sometimes you feel like you're okay, and then all of a sudden
you know what another term that bothers me is? And I don't know whether the media intends to lead the listener or not when they use the term, but jaws of life were used to remove a... That has nothing to do with the health of the person. It has to do with the health of the car. They couldn't get the person out without... They're these big scissors,
right,
and they're basically...
They cut the car open
that
so you can get at the person.
The car was crushed beyond access.
Right.
The person inside could be perfectly fine.
And I talked to somebody who actually talked to, you know, the police that were on the scene, and that was... It looked a lot worse than it was because of the angle of the car. They had to use the jaws of life, and it certainly sounded worse
right
than it was.
But I always feel like the jaws of life, people assume, oh, my God, the jaws of life were needed to save the person's life.
Right.
Well, no, they were needed to get the person out of the car.
Right.
And we should also say that I believe the van was in as bad a condition as it was because in the aftermath of the accident, a utility pole fell on it.
Right.
Now, again, that's reportedly.
Sounds like The Simpsons. Homer would do something.
But I think the van, I think that the cars were knocked into a utility pole in which it fell. That happened to my brother, actually. A utility pole fell on my brother's car.
Well, it happens a lot.
My
brother wasn't in a car, though.
What does that mean?
He just bumped into the pole. What does that mean?
But I think that's why the jaws of life were necessary. Not because of the impact of the two cars hitting, but the aftermath of the pole falling on top of the van. But anyway, it looks like, you know, everything
I still think it should be an Audi commercial.
Okay.
On Wednesday, I was in a car accident, but thanks to my Audi, Sunday at 1, I was on the football field doing my job.
Yeah.
Tom Brady for Audi.
Well, you never know.
And I like how people get all up in arms because he has New Jersey license plates.
Right, oh, God.
But it's apparently a promotional
vehicle. I didn't
get
that at all. Who cares?
Yeah.
Although I bet you that muddies the water a little because, like, the registration might not really say Tom Brady. It might say some guy at Audi who's the head of
their
marketing.
One of the things I was thinking, there, somebody had snapped a photo when they put it up on one of those online photo sharing sites, and it was Brady, a very fuzzy photo of Brady standing next to the car in the cell phone. Who's the first person that Brady calls when he gets into an accident?
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to talk about that on the radio.
Who do you think? No, I'm just wondering.
Someone here.
Well,
you think so? You don't call your wife?
I think he probably called his wife quickly just to let her know that he was fine, because he knows that that's going to get out there.
Right.
But I think the first thing he probably did was to figure out his transportation.
Right, right.
You know, whether, I mean,
I would say it was G and then somebody here.
He doesn't call AAA.
You think G first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if he doesn't, he'll hear about it.
Oh.
And not just because of her. Like, we like to make fun of her as maybe the pants or whatever. I think any wife who finds out later the first call wasn't to her would be upset and would have every right to be.
Yeah.
The first call should be to your family, your loved ones, your wife, and especially if you're
just
Tom Brady. And
they
could potentially, oh, my God, Tom Brady was in an accident and he hasn't called me.
Yeah, I'm just going on the fact that she wasn't here. And, you know, maybe he was figuring out, let me get myself settled and then I'll call her and let her know.
Right.
I would hope he called her first.
Webradio@patriots.com is the
football
email address. Webradio@patriots.com.
All right, it's 15 minutes. Can we get to the jokes now?
What?
Is the 15-minute grace period upcoming?
Oh, sure.
Can we roll the audio from yesterday, Kevin?
Does
Fred Kirsch describing what Tom Brady might be in ahead for?
I think we can find it here, Andy.
Does Belichick fine him for being late?
No.
Kevin sent me a little message over the web. He said, should I wait for Eric to order the food?
No.
What do you think I said?
The order's already in.
Wait for the transcript.
All right, here we go.
Brady, the terms and the numbers are changing, but if you're a betting man, bet the fact that
this thing is going to get done, and it's going to get done this week and probably sometime before game day.
And safe to say, Paul, you've eliminated the 0.1% chance that he would not be a Patriot?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's gone at this point.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Well, they could still keep that in there. He could get hit by a car, or, you know, you never know.
Well, you know.
Everyone sucks but
me. I think Paul was actually thinking he'd play for one of the 31 other teams, not that he'd be dead.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Freddie.
Oh, well.
Fred Kirsch, right again.
Yeah.
He was hit by a car.
His predictions have an uncanny knack of coming
true.
We should also talk in another Tom Brady-related topic. Boomer Esiason was on EEI this morning, Fred.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you hear what he had to say about the contract as reported?
No,
if it's
no.
a 3 or 4 year deal?
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
For who?
Tom Brady. And the respect
That's
given to
That's what Boomer
him.
Esiason said.
He
I don't
used
agree.
The word embarrassing.
I don't agree with it.
Who was he to judge what the hell Brady's doing or the you know when it well, comes to something like that?
He's a football analyst. I mean, that's what he does. That's what we all do.
I don't know.
I'm just saying I'm not the only one that thinks if
well,
he gets that, it's kind of
you know,
a team-friendly
deal. It's funny,
though,
because you and I did a little piece for Patriots Today. Was that on yesterday or today?
I don't know. It's terrible.
With Christian Fourier, we did a point-counterpoint.
No, I think that's for all access, isn't it?
Was it for – no. Was it? I hope not.
I think it's point-counterpoint, it's all access.
No, I think it was for Patriots Today.
I was under the impression it was for all access.
Because SBLI has point-counterpoint.
Yes, SBLI, no-nonsense, point-counterpoint.
I wasn't told that, and I'd like to speak to someone because...
Wait a minute. You put a different effort into something for all access than you would for Patriots Today?
I certainly would have looked in the mirror. And
why?
You've
never looked in the mirror before, ever.
But why? You're on camera either way.
It'll be on tomorrow night, Fred.
TV is a bigger screen than Patriots.com.
So you treat things differently.
Yes, I do.
That's not accurate.
I would actually shave if I knew I was going to be on TV. My face.
I can't.
My face. Not my,
you know,
Sackmaster.
No, I honestly didn't know it was going to be for TV.
Yeah, Christian Fourier doesn't do Patriots Today.
No, I think
does he
does now. I think they're trying to overlap these. Anyway.
Be low on the way up.
So, but my
I'll
point,
tell you what, I'm so confident they're going to win if they lose.
My
I'll,
point
I'll,
before
I'll
I so rudely interrupted myself was that.
We don't assume here, but
the
we're
topic was, is this the right time to trade Logan Mankins? And at the end of it, Fourier did his own opinion. He's like, pay the man.
That wasn't
I mean,
the question.
That's always what the players are going to think.
But that wasn't
so
the
Boomer,
option either.
But no, it wasn't. But Boomer Esiason, you know, it's embarrassing that he didn't get, you know, 10 years, $10 million, you know, $100 million. that's typical response. They have to think differently once they get into the media.
Well, no, but I think he's just comparing it to, like I did, other quarterback contracts and projecting what Manning is going to get. I think we'll all be utterly stunned if Manning gets a 3-year, $58 million contract or even a 4-year, whatever the new Brady report is, $72 million, 4-year, $72 million. I think everybody will be stunned if Manning doesn't get 6 and 100 somewhere in that range. The numbers matter. Whether they're real or fake, the impression is that franchise quarterbacks are $100 million players. And now Brady, for the second time potentially, could be signing a contract that people are going to perceive as hometown discount, leaving money on the table, not getting all he can. And from Esiason's player perspective, I agree with you, it's a sign of disrespect. He's the greatest quarterback that's ever lived, but he's not being paid like it.
Well, why doesn't Brady think it's a sign of disrespect?
I don't know.
I mean, personally am with you on this one, Fred. And it depends. The numbers do change. Now, the 3 and 58 to me is different than the 4 and between 72 and 80, especially if you get closer to 80.
Right.
I think 4 and 80 is right in the ballpark of what I kind of thought he was worth. Not that I am the lawyer in this, but I have no problem with the numbers that I've seen thrown out there. But I agree with Andy on the 3 and 58, I think it was. That seems a little low, both in term and in compensation.
Why would Donald Yee, who is Brady's agent, settle for something that is disrespectful or an embarrassment?
I don't think Donald Yee has the say. I mean, I think some agents have a lot of control over their clients. I think Tom Brady is smart enough, involved enough, that I think Tom Brady's contract is Tom Brady's contract.
If he's smart enough, why would he settle for something that's an embarrassment?
Because he has different priorities.
Maybe
right?
I mean, it's not an embarrassment to him.
Right.
I mean, can we agree on that?
But
Eli Manning's contract is an embarrassment.
Why?
It's not worth it.
Just a
Super Bowl MVP.
I followed him out of the locker room at
Meadowlands. So is Desmond Howard.
He's a skinny little twerp.
I'm just saying, he was a Super Bowl MVP. What does that mean?
He's not in the league, Fred.
Deion Branch.
Eli Manning is in the prime of his career.
Deion Branch is a Super Bowl MVP.
And he got a very good contract.
Well, you know, I don't think that's the end-all, be-all for determining a guy's value.
I'm just saying the guy has a modicum of ability, and he's a Super Bowl MVP.
Modicum is true. I would say he has a modicum of ability. I'm right with you there, Paul.
Let's put it out there on the table. Is Eli Manning an embarrassing contract to you for the Giants?
No, but I'm
just saying. Okay, then so why do you bring it up?
But someone could have the opinion that he's overpaid.
Right.
But not drastically.
I don't know.
That's what frontline quarterbacks make.
But the opinion is Tom Brady is light years ahead of Eli Manning, and if the market says Eli Manning gets X, then Brady gets X plus one.
That's my
point. Or X plus 10 or whatever. And that was Esiason actually thought Tom Brady should get Peyton Manning's deal plus a dollar at least.
Yeah, he said
because he's the Joe Montana of the generation.
I didn't necessarily
agree with. He should be the highest paid guy.
I didn't agree with Esiason today. I thought he actually came off like a clown.
I think
there's a lot of people, and I think Ron Borges is included, that, you know, as much as people make fun of people who write articles that suck up to the Patriots, sometimes these guys in the media suck up to individual players.
Oh, sometimes?
Well, Ron Borges does it 100 times out of 100.
And a lot of guys do that. You know, absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, cultivate them as a source or keep them as a source for whatever reason.
I don't have a problem with Brady deciding that this is what I want to do. I'm not breaking the bank. I'm team friendly, however you want to term it. But I think it's okay to also acknowledge that it's a team-friendly deal, that he didn't get as much as he could have.
First of all, we don't know. We don't even have the numbers.
Right. Well, we have numbers that are out
there. And even when we have the numbers, we don't know the details. You know, we don't know if there's options in there for the player or the team.
I agree.
We don't, you know, some of these 10-year deals turn out to be 5-year deals because
a lot of them, the bulk of them.
You know, so you just don't know.
I agree. But I think it's okay to point out that he left money on the table and it not be a criticism of him or the team. It's just a fact. And I think we all expected, all the discussion was he joined ranks with the players, the union. He was a union man now. He's the alternate rep. He was going to, you know, brotherhood it and get as much as he
could. Who
knows?
Patriots fans may not want to hear this, but maybe Brady wanted a shorter-term deal so that he could have options to go somewhere else after 3 or 4 years.
Maybe.
Maybe you guys are right. Maybe he does want to finish his career on the West Coast.
The reason why I said that I maintained my 0.001%.
I never said he wanted to finish his career on the West Coast.
I have. Yeah. Don't blame him for that. Big Head does enough on his own.
Yeah, that's true.
I do think that there is a chance that he will not finish his career here. Doesn't make him a bad guy.
And it doesn't necessarily mean
it's
because
he wants
to.
And it doesn't mean he signed an embarrassing contract either. I'm with you on the contract.
But it also doesn't mean that he's eyeing it now. Well, after 3 or 4 years, I want to sign on the West Coast.
You said he's smart.
But
he looks ahead.
No, I just think he might want to keep playing when they don't want him to keep playing here. I think that's what happened to Joe Montana. That's what happened to Jerry Rice. Those guys didn't eye 5 years prior. You know what? I'm going to leave the 49ers at some point because I want to play elsewhere.
I just played out. I agree with you. It wouldn't be the
same. More often than not.
It wouldn't be the same thing.
Your welcome is worn out in a place where they're ready to move. Brett Favre, they're ready to move on beyond you.
Sure.
He wants to keep playing.
Sure.
But what if, and I agree with you, the examples you used aren't the same, but what if Fred's right? Maybe one of the reasons that the term is a little shorter, 4 years, is because Brady wanted it that way.
And boy, has he been lying. Because he has said he wants to be a Patriot.
He wants to play football.
I had brought up.
No. He said it's a distasteful thought for him or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. To play elsewhere.
Over the top. Okay. Even yesterday, he said
Boston is his home.
Yeah.
When people ask him, where are you from? I'm from Boston.
Oh, he laid it on. Absolutely. He always says that.
Then he's just flat out lying now if he has these visions of finishing it out elsewhere. He praises the Crafts, Belichick, no other coach, no other owner, no other organization.
He calls Belichick the greatest coach in the NFL history. And he says his relationship with Robert Kraft is excellent.
Yeah.
And he talked about he's been in relationships that are, you know, he's okay as long as he's paying me what I want, but when he's not, then he's not
Tom.
My friend.
You love the Tom.
he gets angry.
Paul writes in.
Paulie.
This is not Paulie.
Yeah, sure,
but
it's not.
It's someone else. He says it's been reported that Tom Brady's wife has made $25 million. In the last 2 years, I think it's more than that.
It was 30, and I believe in 1 year.
She
made $30 million in 09.
Do you think what Tom Brady's wife makes has any effect on what he will settle for, or could it mean that between what he and his wife makes, money really isn't an issue?
I don't think Giselle's salary is.
I don't think
to do
it is either, because as a good union guy, you can't do
right.
that.
Plus, money really isn't an issue with Peyton Manning. He's made $100 million or 100 and whatever.
And Giselle aside, money's not an issue for Tom Brady. Right. He just signed a 60-year contract that he's about to finish up in 2010.
Right, and he got every penny of it.
You know, so money's not an issue for Tom.
In real-world sense, money's not an issue for Logan Mankins. He's made $7 million. Most of us will never see $7 million. So
I don't think Giselle has anything to do with
it. It's about respect and the market and
whatever he
what the going rate is.
Tracy in Vegas says no decent player ever seems to complete the entire term of his contract. What's the point of going beyond 3 or 4 years? Also, the salaries fluctuate so much each year. Would a player really want to get stuck with a salary at today's levels and with today's economy? That's another good point.
Well, it's really not. And you're the one that had actually brought this up, I think, last week. Peyton Manning has played out his contract a couple of times.
No, but
Tom Brady is playing out his contract right now.
The point is, you sign a contract today, you sign it for today's dollars. If you think the economy is going to get incredibly better 3-4 years, you don't want it to go beyond that because
That gets into the whole security long term versus ability to.
I'm talking
to
about
alter
it's speculation.
I'm talking about good players play out their contracts. I think
some do.
I think you see
Bledsoe
played
out his first contract.
The really good ones do.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of money there at the end.
Yeah.
Because generally they're backloaded.
Go down the list of guys who've been franchised.
Yeah. If you're still worth it at the end, you're playing out the contract.
Yeah. Right.
Will Fork was underpaid at the end of his contract.
No, I'm just saying, though, about the franchise list of guys is a star-studded list of guys who played out their deal. That's how you get to the franchise tag.
But the reason that the franchise tag is so distasteful for a lot of those guys is because they're coming off being underpaid.
No,
and then their contract is up, and they get franchised, and they still don't get to
cash
in.
Right, but they played out their contract.
Yeah.
What good player plays out your contract?
It's really that second contract. It's beyond the one after the rookie contract is the one I think Tracy's talking about.
You know, like Richard Seymour.
Richard Seymour played out his contract.
Right.
And he was going to play it out either here or there.
I think there's a lot of good. I think there's a lot of good players that sign big deals, and when they're still good at the end of them, they play them out.
Guys who don't play out their contract are.
Hey, a couple programming notes.
Programming notes.
I guess we have a lot of new listeners coming on lately.
Well, that's good.
One is Luke from Saskatchewan, and another one.
He's a rough rider.
Is Jason from Lafayette, Indiana. They both have a similar question. They just subscribed to the show. They really like it, and they did it on iTunes.
Okay.
But the thing is, they subscribed to Patriots Podcast, which is sort of the whole package of everything we put up there. And they're wondering if there's a way to just subscribe to this show. And the answer is yes. If you search for Patriots Football Weekly in iTunes, you can subscribe to just this show.
Just PFW in Progress, right? Yes.
Right. So that's the answer to Jason and Luke's question.
Now eliminate all the other fluff.
I thought for sure the question is going to be, can Paul not come?
Luke also had another question. Do you see Brandon Spikes starting an inside linebacker along with Mayo at some point? Well, I think from day one you're going to see
that. At some point around 107 on Sunday.
Yeah, I think absolutely you're going to see that.
Yeah, depending on who wins the toss.
Right.
Now, is there a chance that, you know, Cincinnati comes out 5 wide and all of a sudden Guyton's in there instead of Spikes?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. There is.
And then technically,
but
Guyton would be your
right now
starter.
He's the starting 3-4 inside linebacker base defense.
Right.
Next to Jerod Mayo.
Right. Oh, and the other question that Jason had, he
Where
wants
is he from Lafayette.
Why he wants to get Patriots playbook?
Why?
No, sorry, that's John. That's not available separately. I don't think
it's not.
No,
is it even on iTunes?
Well, I think you just get the Patriots podcast. You get them all. Anyway, he says, I'm glad you're back to 3 days a week and hoping, but not confident of another great year. Who knows? Maybe the Pats can surprise me. Being a lifelong fan living in Indiana, I enjoy your show so much. Thanks for the information.
Fred, I think you can get Playbook if you go on Patriots.com, right?
You can also download it straight from the site.
That's the easiest
individually,
way
but you can't subscribe to it.
True.
And I think people like to subscribe to it.
Okay.
Because we don't have that service.
Why isn't that part of our app?
What app?
I don't know. The app you're always bragging about.
Talk to Gabe.
Why didn't Gabe do that?
Okay.
Here's your friend's uncomfortable.
Tick. I'm just looking for good emails. Ken in New Mexico says, what if Brady is simply getting a 3-year extension at $20 million per year to bridge the unknown financial situation / cap situation coming up? And once that's worked out, he'll work out a 5-to-6-year extension. Seems like a lot of sense to me.
Well, yeah, from a team perspective, I think that makes a lot of sense. But he doesn't get the big, secure last contract, finally highest paid payday.
And you can also run into some problems with that. When are you going to give that extension? Because there's, you know, it's not within 24, a calendar year
right.
that you can actually do another one. So now you're talking 2 years. So now to Andy's point, situation on the ground could change in the meantime.
Tom Brady's fine. 508-543-7482.
I don't think we're going to be wondering how Tom's going to be able to afford his next meal.
On the
his
line
next
right, Audi. On the line right now is Andy from Narragansett. Hey, Andy, how you doing? Andy?
It's Andy.
Andy from Narragansett. Been drinking those beers.
No, he just came on. Andy.
Okay.
All right, then. So
Kevin's just shaking his head.
Have you ever had Narragansett Light?
No. Narragansett's pretty light to begin with.
Narragansett Light is also known as water.
Water?
And I am,
that's like
as
Natty
I've
ice,
said,
right? Natural ice?
Oh, I don't know. But Narragansett Light, I bought one because I think Troy Brown is a part owner of
that
company. I want to say he has a business relationship with Narragansett Beer.
Funny factoids. Troy Brown's a part owner.
And I just tried it. And I drink Miller Lite, so I don't drink, you know, hard
beer
or whatever.
Guinness.
And I literally thought maybe they had misbottled it and beer didn't go in. It was water because it is the lightest beer I've ever had in my entire life.
Wow.
Alex, Andy on Narragansett looks like he may be back on the line.
Alex in Edmonton says, I'm going to go ahead and assume Polian sent that car after Brady this morning.
Been a lot of those coming in fast and furious.
Yes.
Rex Ryan, Polian.
Yeah. Because it was a Dodge Colt that hit him, right? No, I'm only kidding.
No, it was a Ford Aerostar.
I know.
Something. What is a Dodge Colt?
Colt? They used to have a Dodge Colt car.
I mean, I get what you were doing, Colts.
Right.
Good thing it wasn't a jet.
Yeah. A lot of emails from people.
Would have been a tragedy. I mean, a major
good point,
tragedy.
Andy.
A lot of emails
like
from people.
Like the 65 Ford Astroid yesterday.
Had a jet crashed on Com Ave.
A lot of people wondering if he's going to be at practice today. We don't know.
He was already at a walkthrough.
Yeah, he was at a walkthrough.
I'm going to assume
that he is.
We don't like to make assumptions, but I assume he will be.
You know, if he isn't, then all hell's going to break loose.
More than hell has broken loose already.
I think that's...
I'm already watching stations doing multiple live shots from clearly the same parking lot just about 10 feet away.
Right.
I think that might... I think Brady would say, I mean, provided that it's not overly serious, and certainly he was at a walkthrough already, so I can't imagine it was overly serious. I think Brady might say, I'm not missing practice for a car accident if I don't have to.
I will say, though, and, you know, Paul, your wife could...
Careful. How are you talking about Paul's wife?
Careful here.
No, she can attest to this, that sometimes in these accidents, you know, your body goes through that trauma of the... And then it's not till the next day that you start feeling the aches and pains.
Because you have adrenaline and stuff that wears off afterwards. And yeah, there's no question he could wake up sore tomorrow.
Right. But I think he's
going to. But I don't want to assume anything.
You know, they'll probably give him a nice massage and all that stuff. He'll be fine. They're going to take care of him.
I think he'll.
My bottom is really sore.
I think he'll be at practice.
On the phone right now, it's not Andy from Narragansett. It's Brad from the Eastern Shore. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Glad to see it's the three amigos today instead of the four who knows what.
Wow.
Eric's all right. He does all right.
Yeah.
He keeps you guys going on the blog, so that's all right.
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations. I didn't get to listen to yesterday, but I was trying to catch the podcast this morning. Congratulations on the increasing numbers.
Thank you.
Way to go. I think it's great that more and more people are catching on.
That's right. It's all from your phone calls. People love your phone calls.
Well, hey, speaking of phone calls, I would guess that Paul and I will no longer be debating that the O-line or the D-line is our biggest worry anymore on the Pats.
Right. Well, there was never really the debate. The debate was always it was outside linebacker.
Yeah. No, I the biggest worry would always
you just,
to me be lack
you two
of depth
debated
at linebacker.
The most
what's
line.
Worse about,
yeah.
about the lines?
Right. No, that's what I mean.
And I'm more worried about the defensive line than the offensive line.
Right. But I'm saying I think now we're not even as concerned about the outside linebackers as we are the secondary.
Well, not me.
Oh, I still, outside linebacker remains the biggest
Absolutely.
Hole on this team by far.
But given the hole.
They can't stop the run and they can't get after the passer.
But given the glaring hole that we now have at outside linebacker, it is going to make our secondary that much more vulnerable as Manning and Favre and Rodgers and Carson Palmer have
yeah,
5 and 6 seconds to find.
That's like saying
receiver.
In 2006 the biggest hole was quarterback because he had no receivers.
Right.
No, the biggest hole was receivers. This year the biggest hole is the pass rush. Yes, will it affect the secondary? Sure, but that's not the biggest hole. I have confidence in those young guys that they can at least compete. They'll have ups and downs.
Especially
I don't have
McCourty.
Confidence that anybody can compete at linebacker.
I have been very impressed with McCourty.
Sure.
So far.
Yeah, until the Giants game.
I thought he was excellent in the Giants game.
Not the Giants game. Sorry, Rams game.
But
he's
going to
have
the
ups
Giants
and downs.
Game actually was the most impressive thing I saw because he struggled against St. Louis, and he came back right out, and he played the style that we saw every day at practice.
But
he's going to get beat.
We've all
he's
seen enough,
corner.
So we think there'll be some ups. I don't know if Rob Ninkovich will ever have NFL ups.
Right. Oh, no, I totally agree, and I think
not jumping ability.
I think it's ridiculous for us to put our hopes 100% on Jermaine Cunningham. I think that's unfair, you know, to him.
Certainly.
But
I think at this
who else have we got?
I think at this point, what we talked about it yesterday, I think you're going to see some different things from Belichick. I think you might see three safeties. I think you might even see him use the linebackers that he has in different ways.
Tree five.
Well, and that's I'm wondering if we do a 4-2-5.
Ooh.
Because given that Brace has had his ups and downs, he did flash some decent plays in the preseason. Right now, I would much rather have, and I applauded you guys Tuesday. It was great. I loved the dancing with the tackle again. but I would rather see Ron Brace on the defensive line than the former aforementioned left outside linebacker that I don't like. And, you know, that's no longer with the team. I think I'd rather have a 330-pound guy anchoring that position.
Well, Brace needs to prove he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
Well,
he needs
that's
to prove
true.
He can anchor that position.
And
because last year when he anchored that position, he was on roller skates.
Yeah, but even more than that, every time he's been out there, he's then banged up.
Yeah.
And he's banged up to start the season.
Right.
Now, you may see some four-man lines. I don't think you'll see four-man lines that include four true linemen. You may see Tully Vanacane with his hand in the dirt and then two
like last
inside linebackers
right.
behind him.
But that still left our dancing with the right tackle the whole game. You know, even when Vanacane put his hand down, Burgess, you know, is out there and he did it all. He did it both preseason games. It's just a matter of I'd rather see four big studs, and that's what we talked about on the D-line versus the O-line argument. I'd rather see the four big studs holding up those linemen and letting my linebackers run around. I mean, you know, I've watched Ray Lewis do it for years down here in Baltimore. They would put three of the hugest guys. They didn't care how athletic they were. They just all had to be over 330 pounds to tie up the offensive linemen, and Ray Lewis would run around and make tackles and look great, and he was.
Do we have Ray Lewis?
No, but, you know, we've got Spikes and Mayo who aren't bad. I mean, I would say that they are quite a bit above average.
Wait a minute. What's your defensive lineup again? How did you get to this 4-2-5?
I'm saying Warren, Brace, Wilfork, and Wright.
And Spikes and
And Mayo.
And you don't have Vanacane on the field because you said you had an extra DB.
Right.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know how you get after the passer, and I disagree that Mayo and Spikes right now are above average.
Oh,
I think
Mayo's above average.
Spikes has never even played a game.
How can you say that about Spikes?
Spikes,
even I can't say that.
Okay, but I would definitely say Mayo is above average.
He's above average,
yeah.
Sure.
And going on the fact that we're saying that we've got to get after the quarterback, I'd rather see a 4-2 and then blitzing different defensive backs from different positions.
You took your only proven pass rusher off the field.
Well, you know what? How many sacks did he have against Buffalo versus the rest of the league?
Five.
Right.
And Jared Allen had seven against the Packers, so does he suck too?
How many of the other guys have
but
against
you know
That's
what?
How it works. These
but
pass rushers
Packers
generally get some against bad teams or bad teams in their division that they play twice.
Really, you have
they
to add in the
in
pressures.
For a lot
you
of
have guys. To add the pressures and knockdowns in there too.
And I'm saying I don't think if we do a 3-4, we will not get pressures or knockdowns or sacks.
We're all under
but
the agreement that
if we do a 4-2-5, we will.
And take Vanacane off the field, your best pass rusher. It's going to improve your pass
no,
rusher.
No, I'm not saying take him off. I'm saying you can
you
switch
him
with Wright.
Off.
I'm saying you can on first down, you'd have Wright in there. Second or third down, you'd have Vanacane in there.
We're all in agreement. They're probably going to have to do some different things. It won't be these strict base defenses every week that we see the same groups. But I find it hard to believe now we're just going to say Vanacane, who has proven himself in this system now. He had, what, 6.5 the year before he left, and then 10 on his return. Okay, he gets a little bit of pressure on the quarterback in this system. I don't see how you can take him off the field. Because it's not the days of, okay, it's first down, they're going to run, then we'll bring Tully on the field for third down. Those days are over. The Bengals could throw the first five snaps of the game, and right. you're going to have Ron Brace and Mike Wright.
Plus, you need your best players on the field. Right. He's one of their better players.
Oh, I'm not.
And I don't think he's a star, but you know, Tully Bantakane is one of their better defensive starters, and I don't want to advocate taking him off the field.
All right, thanks, Brad.
All right, Brad from the Eastern Shore writing in. By the way, Strippers gives us some info. Troy Brown reportedly became a Narragansett Beer investor in March of 2009. So there you go.
Andy Hart, right again.
And George from South Carolina, he says,
I
think
anyone said you were wrong, by the way.
I never know for sure when I say these things.
Bingo! Bingo! I got bingo!
And speaking about Tom Brady's contract, I think the problem stems from all media lump players into a category of trying to get as much as they can in every deal. Some players, like Tom Brady, will always be marketable and make money after football. Joe Montana still won't quite quit doing Skechers commercials. Brett Favre and Wrangler, Peyton, and any company willing to pay him. So not all players have to be the highest paid guy. They're not all Darrell Revis and need a huge contract to ease their ego.
I agree we assume all players. I assume all human beings try to get as much money as they can. I think it's human nature.
Yep.
Ego-wise, contract-wise, pay-wise, you want to, if you think you're the best or you think you're worth something, you try to get
as
high as
you can. Yeah, but have you ever been I've had jobs before this one. And you're a young guy, and you're in the interview, and it's getting close to you think you're going to get an offer, and you have in your mind what you're going to ask for, and then they say a number, and it's below that. You go, okay, thank you.
Yes, because you need a job.
You know?
And then you get hired.
I just flash back to my interview with you.
But if I were Tom Brady and had other options, if the ball was in my court, I'd say, are you kidding me? I didn't, and I'm stuck.
Yeah, no. You nailed it. That's exactly right. No. You end up, I mean, if you need the job or you want, but
he doesn't need the Patriots as much as they
need them. But not everybody is like
that. That's where the real life.
Oh, no, I think everybody's like that. It's just how much leverage you have.
Right.
It's all about the leverage.
He has the leverage. I don't criticize guys for taking less than they could get. No. Could Brady get more money than reportedly he's going to? Yeah. I think he could. He's well within his rights to sit there and wait for Peyton Manning to sign and say, I want a couple dollars more.
But, you know,
and I don't blame him for not doing that.
Maybe
I
for
don't.
Once, a player who says something is actually telling the God's honest truth.
Well,
maybe he just wants to play football and really does love being the quarterback of this team and being on the field, and he just wants to get this behind him.
Well,
you know,
I thought that was the case the first time around. I thought he was very much open with it wasn't about breaking the bank. This time around, I wasn't. Sure, that was
we
the case
all said that,
but you know what I think?
We all said that, but he never said that.
Oh, he had some comments that led you down that road.
You know what? Yeah, he did.
He did,
and
he definitely did.
Even the time that he talked about it in training camp to us, not like the Michael Silver stuff.
What did he say?
Just talking about how the union was important to him, and setting a standard and whatnot for the guys after him.
Yeah,
but. Whatever he defined as that is that's up to him. Again, I'm
maybe
on
the standard he's trying to set is, hey, the best players in the league don't go after every dollar. You know, set an example that let's get these things done in a spirit of cooperation.
What I think was important to him,
because you said you win by conceding.
That's right. If both sides concede, only you know.
you had said that you know maybe for once someone who's saying something is actually he actually means it. What I think turned out to be very important to him. That I'm not really sure why it was so important to him, but getting it done before the Bengals game seemingly is a big part of this.
Yeah, I think so, before the season started.
Yeah. And I think that is really what's driving the bus here. I think he really wants to
get
it
done. Which is strange.
I don't understand why.
Because if that was that important,
why did he
now I'm with John Clayton. Maybe he should have been holding out, right?
Why did he go in the
preseason? If it was that important to get it done now and he was worried about health or security, anything.
He had just as much of a chance of sustaining a serious injury in the preseason as he does in the regular season.
Well, we'll have to wait for the GQ article to find out all that. Right?
Where you're allowed to swear.
Richard Minneapolis.
All those good stories with the great writers always are littered with vulgarities.
Well, because
that's why
it's
I think
real.
That's why I think we're great.
Richard Minneapolis.
I swear a lot.
I've been a listener of the show since 2001. Yes, after the Pat's glory year.
Week three.
only because I didn't think to go to your internet site before then. Anyway, did you see that the Colts cut Tony Hugo? Pats need depth at O-line, and Hugo was a talented prospect out of college a couple years ago. Is he a guy we want? Was he an Hugo-ego clash in Indy, and that's why he was cut, or is the talent just not there anymore?
Didn't he have a major knee injury?
Talent isn't there. He's been a disappointment. That was one of the very few that you can really criticize Polian about.
But didn't he have a major knee injury?
He may have, but he wasn't.
I thought he had a major
injury. I know he wasn't very good when he started.
He was thrown to the fire.
He got thrust right in there,
us,
and he was
right?
a big-time disappointment
early
right
on?
From the start. Injuries may have compounded that, sure. But I think that's one of those – when we criticize Belichick drafts the last, 06, 07, 08 – that's a bad Polian pick.
Yeah, every team has them. Nathan from South California, if you guys had a guess, what do you think Bill thinks will happen on Sunday? Do you think he's nervous, confident, oblivious, anxious? To me, he seemed confident in his ability to shut down the Bengals in his recent interviews and conference calls. And which defense do you think will show up on Sunday, the Pats against the Saints, Falcons, or the defense against the Rams?
All of them.
So if you could climb into Bill Belichick's mind, how does he really feel about his shot on Sunday?
I think the same as always.
You know how you said that maybe this is an example of a guy who said something? I actually believe Bill every year at the start of the season when he says, you just don't know at the start of a season
and
exactly
what
you have.
It takes like 6 games to even figure out what you
have. But I think he really thinks games unfold. Like,
oh, I can't wait.
Kind of what we talked about with the Ravens, that had that started – first 4 or 5 plays.
Well, you're talking about two different things. You're talking about a game and what your team is. And he said, like, sometimes after the first couple series, you know how a game is going to go.
No, but I think he feels like if Banta Kane can get 2 hits on Carson Palmer, Bill thinks that'll be the whole difference and that game will unfold where his corners will be enough, this will be enough.
Right.
But if he can't, I think he is aware that if they Cedric Benson us 3 straight times here and here, I think he thinks this is like
he knows the
choose-your-own-adventure books. I think he sees it as that.
That's where we fans are at such a disadvantage because, for example, if Bill and Matt Patricia dial up a couple things early on defense and they just get stoned, they can't do what they wanted to do, that changes things for you.
Right.
Because you had
that's what Andy's talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
I really believe he thinks it hinges on.
We never know that as fans.
And what I would strongly disagree with was any sense of confidence that came out of Bill's talk. Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear that. I didn't see that. I didn't read that.
No, I didn't really.
And
the strange one I thought
this
was post
on,
Giants.
This
I thought
is 10 years,
was a little giddy.
But this is 10 years now. Every Wednesday, maybe with the exception of a handful, I've heard him talk about the upcoming team. Never once have I heard a sense of growing confidence when he's talking about the other team. It's always the other way. If you ever walked out of that when they were playing the 2-11 Cleveland Browns when they were 14-2, you would have thought there's no possible way we're going to go and beat Cleveland in Cleveland. Listening to Bill talk, I don't think there's a growing confidence in his voice about this stuff. Now, behind closed doors, I have no idea what he's saying to the team.
There were, though, weeks where we'd say, Bill seems a little upbeat this week.
We would say it all the time.
Yeah,
we're idiots.
It was always meaningless.
We say a lot of stuff.
Right. Or he would mention certain things about another team but leave other things out, which by leaving them out, you said, okay, he thinks he's got something there.
Yeah, we try to read between the lines all the time.
Sometimes
I'm not sure how much
and I think especially early in the season like this when he says he doesn't know, Andy's right.
Nobody knows.
He just doesn't.
Rex Ryan doesn't know.
He might think that he has the secret to stopping Cedric Benson. Yeah. And then all of a sudden in the first quarter, Cedric Benson might have 75 yards.
Right.
And then he, instead of, dialing up these 3 blitzes that he was planning on doing to get Cincinnati in 3rd and longs and get after Carson Palmer, he now has to get Jared Page out there to stop the run.
Go back to that Ravens game, the last game the Patriots played for real. Do you think Bill Belichick had any clue that that was going to happen in that game?
No.
I'm sure he didn't.
And I bet you we thought that we were a little giddy about how confident he sounded going into the game.
Like I said yesterday, he also didn't think that the Tennessee game was going to go that way.
Right.
The other way. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Each game is its own
entity.
You
talked about the first couple of series. Remember the year that we opened against Buffalo and the very first play from scrimmage was a strip sack touchdown. London Fletcher recovered a fumble in the end zone. And Bill said, I don't know how many different things that went through our minds for scenarios to start the game. I don't think that was one of them that any of us came up with.
Right.
So you just never know.
Yep.
You just never know.
Let's see. Sean writes in. He says, I can't figure out why Paul is so dead set about not re-signing Moss. If he is so against it, who does he suggest spreads the field next year? I say re-sign him as long as the request is not way out of control. Brady has a window, and I want him to have a prolific receiver to throw to. I don't want him to have to make receivers like Branch and Givens, especially since we have a work in progress with the D. On another note, I find it interesting that this whole offseason we heard on several occasions that T.O. is washed up and not worth it, yet now we find him a threat.
You didn't hear that from us.
No, I said I don't want any part of T.O.
But not because of his talent.
And no, I said I want
because of his off-field problems.
Because he had such a bad year last year. I thought he had a good year. He's what he had to work with.
He tears locker rooms apart, in my opinion.
Get rid of me.
It's not
Trade
a physical
me.
Thing.
Release
it's a freaking
me.
Symphony, according to Ocho Cinco. That's what they're going to be on the field working together.
Well, listen,
and Batman and Robin, and he has given T.O. Batman
more
role.
More power to them if he can do it, but I'm skeptical, and I'll be a doubter.
Ocho Cinco also opened the conference call with, "What the beep is up, Boston?" And he actually said beep.
He said beep, and he said that he had to clean it up. It's not Twitter. He had to clean it up a little bit. But that's just my opinion on Moss. I wouldn't re-sign him. And I don't understand if the reason that you have to re-sign him is that you need someone to stretch the field, then money should be no object. You should just have – if you have no one else that can do it, then you should be willing to give him whatever he wants.
Well, the other theory is we're going to use these two first-round picks, one on the outside linebacker and one on the new receiver. The kid out of Georgia who's in trouble now.
Maybe one of the guys that you have develops. Maybe Brandon Tate's a lot better of a player at the end of the year than he is right now. I don't know.
I wouldn't feel as good about that. I'd have some hope that we picked this elite first-round pick. Brandon Tate, I don't have hope.
I just, I think.
Well, they took him in, the third round?
Third round, and they spun it as
because
without the injury.
Of his knee, he would have been a higher pick.
Maybe.
Well, that's what everyone said, not just the Patriots.
Maybe, though. He got hurt before. He did nothing in college as a receiver. He was a developing talent. He was having a huge breakout season. But he never got to actually finish it because he got hurt.
Okay. Dwight from Enterprise, Alabama, wants to know, in Sunday's game, who would you rather single cover, Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, or T.O.?
Single cover. Probably T.O.
Yeah, I think so.
Just because I think the T.O. is...
He's also going to drop two balls.
Well, I just don't... Well,
right before our eyes, like Vernon Golston?
I think you're leaving yourself open either way.
I would single cover Johnson. I think T.O. is still more of a big play threat. Because I still fear his physicality, and I think I could see Butler being there. T.O. catches it, throws him to the ground with one flipper, and keeps right on running.
Joe is from Pennsylvania, and he says his question is about the lack of depth on some of the defensive positions. A couple years ago, I remember seeing them use one down lineman and have the linebackers and DBs all standing and moving. That's the milling about defense. Are there any chances we see more of the odd formations to throw offenses off?
I think we do. I think we're going to see a lot of them.
I think we've always seen odd formations with the Patriots. They never come out with straight sets.
That wasn't a few years. They used it in Buffalo last year. Yeah, they've used it pretty much every season
defense.
at some point.
And they actually mumble while they're doing it. They're going, it's like a lot of milling about and grumbling and mumbling.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had a parabolic and picked that up.
Throws people off.
Threw the Bills off last year, but they also had a terrible offensive line.
Paul's checked out. He's done.
Why?
There's some basketball on TV.
I resigned the USA game. That's right.
Russia.
33 for Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
U.S. about to dispatch Russia.
Cold War.
James.
You never know. He could just whack off.
James in Brisbane. Can't wait for the season to start. Going to get it out of the way right now. Super Bowl winner will be Green Bay.
Put it back in.
I agree.
Pats will go 11-5 and lose in round two of the playoffs with Brady seriously challenging for MVP. I know that's an optimistic pick, but I still think if this team has more positive answers to their big questions than negative, they could be a legit Super Bowl contender.
Brady's going to get MVP love if the offense is as good as we think it could be and they're in the playoffs and maybe win. I mean, it's going to be all offense. They're going to say, he's got no defense. He's doing it. It's all on his shoulders.
It'll be a Manning-like MVP
exactly.
Where he has to do it all. So if they go 12-4 and they're a deep playoff team, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be all on Brady.
As for your weekly picks, I'd love to be the listener who does the picks for the one of the weeks if you'll have me.
We'll have you.
Between you guys, I think there should be some raised stakes this season, though, where the overall winner gets some sort of prize bought by the loser. My suggestions are if Andy wins, he gets a Patriots 87 jersey with G-Force in the back. If Paul wins, he gets lunch. For Fred, a book on debating and how to win an argument. Eric gets a date or a stripper of his choice. And if the monkey behind the glass gets involved and wins, he gets to keep his job. Wow. All right. Kevin likes that. So.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
No.
Well, Andy thinks I'm going to get fired, so.
Or just quit.
We think we're going to beat you down.
Or go postal.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Orlando from Springfield's on the phone. Hey, Orlando.
The big O.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Man, let me tell you something, man. I do not want to wake up to the news that I woke up today. I was literally like on my knees praying to God. I'm like, please, please let it be the other guy that's like, seriously.
Oh, come on.
Well, I don't think God works that way.
Fellas, listen, I got a question, and then I have an apology that I need to make to you guys, man. First, let me ask you this. Obviously, with the Logan Mankin situation, I mean, it seems like he's going to be gone. You know, real shame, but hey, who do you guys see out there that the Patriots can use as a replacement? Do you think that they'll actually draft somebody high again in the next draft? Do you think there's somebody already on the backup or on the practice squad or a potential free agent? I mean, what do you think they're going to do to replace his position?
I mean, it could be a number of things. Remember, we're talking about a guard.
Well, you know, I think they're going to draft an interior lineman high. I think there were rumblings of Marquise Pouncey being the guy last year. And you could, I mean, Stephen Neal resigned for 2 years. Copen's coming to the end of his deal. Mankins, as you said, Orlando, is probably gone. I think you're going to see them invest in some interior lineman to kind of be the anchor in there to build around. You know, Mankins is the most talented guy. Copen's been a Pro Bowl. You lose all that. Maybe Dan Conley's good enough next to an elite first-round center who's great, or you add another guard on the whatever it is. I think you'll see them invest in the first couple rounds.
Man,
okay.
I'm still here. I really do wish that they could have gotten this together with, you know, Mankins. You know, I wish this could have came to it didn't come to this.
It would have been nice because then you got Mankins and Vollmer, who are two guys that are going to be here for a while that you could depend on, you know.
Yeah, but you figure, Vollmer's going to be starting at right tackle, right?
Well, he is this year, but I'm assuming that when Matt Light thought maybe this was going to be his last year, that Vollmer will move over to the left tackle.
And let's not put Vollmer in Mankins' class just yet.
No, but
Mankins
solid.
Has proven himself as durable.
Especially after preseason.
And he's had a terrible preseason. I've seen him get beat
Vollmer?
At right tackle in the preseason. So let's not just anoint him the savior at left tackle. Like Mankins has proven himself a multi-time Pro Bowler who's always out there, never misses games. As Paul likes to point out, Vollmer has had a back injury in his past, was a little banged up as a rookie with a head injury.
I like to point that out,
You point it out often. But I'm not quite ready to anoint Vollmer one of the centerpieces of the offensive line, certainly.
Yeah. Now, what's the thing that you needed to apologize about? Because no one usually does that to us.
Oh, believe me, I'm gonna apologize. Listen, I'm gonna make this apology to you guys, including Eric. I know he's painting something. But I'm gonna make this apology to him, and not only that, to all the rest of the people who listen to your show. I've been listening for the past few weeks. You know, the podcast's been keeping up, and you know what? Let me just come out and say it. Look, fellas, on behalf of myself and the other 7 million Puerto Ricans who populate the main island and this, area, in the United States, I want to apologize for Mike and Puerto Ricans.
Wow.
On behalf of all Puerto Ricans.
He is clearly not indicative of what Mike and Puerto Ricans do.
Oh, we love
and
Mike.
How we talk. It kind of hurts me. You know, he's a member of two of my favorite fraternities, the Patriots fan, he's Puerto Rican.
You should start a fan club called the Patriot Puerto Ricans.
Wow. Oh my God.
I think there is one.
He's kind of like that drunk uncle at like your birthday party.
Wow.
Yeah, sure, he's a member of the family, but he's really
maybe I'll just drink to get drunk.
Poor Mike.
Right. Wow.
So on behalf of all of us who, like to talk and keep our conversations, under like 3.5 hours, I just want to apologize. And if Mike is listening, if you guys will allow me, if I may, Mike, si tú me oyes, mira, cállate ya. ¿Qué tú estás llamando a esta gente? Hablando como un morón. Mira, cállate ya, cabrón. ¿Tú entiendes, idiota? Gracias. Thank you.
Gracias. Right, see you, Orlando.
I hope he didn't swear too much in that.
Oh, wow.
He's talking moron.
I did hear moron, but no medicón.
All right. Well, that was a good call, Orlando. Thank you. All right, we're gonna take a break. Kevin has to do his thing in there, and we'll be right back.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio. When the boss says it.
For those that.
When the.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
It's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
This offense has completely turned the corner to me. Against an average defense, they're going to put points on the board. And I think you have a better chance of doing that in Miami than you do in the Meadowlands.
I just want to have another chance
January.
To beat the Jets. Oh, God.
But they have another chance to beat you.
So what? Don't
see,
be
it's a
I'm not afraid of that. Unbelievable.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
Never gives me the high sign. All right, we're back. It's PFW
the
in Progress.
High sign?
Paul,
you get the high
Andy,
sign.
And Fred.
Hi.
Kevin in the booth. Eric is out gallivanting, doing something.
Eric's out?
Yeah. So we got another hour to go. Later on Lansing. This hour, we're going to be doing our picks.
You want to reset the, since it's the new hour, just in case?
Reset?
Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Tom Brady was in a two-car accident this morning. Showed up at Gillette Stadium thereafter. Was not hospitalized. Took part in a walkthrough, and we'll know exactly what he did at practice when Eric gets here.
Right. But
when he prances in.
Brady is fine.
Brady or Eric?
And it wasn't Bart Scott in the other car.
It wasn't a jet.
No.
It wasn't a Dodge Colt, as Fred said.
So everything's okay here at Gillette Stadium. We're just getting ready for the Bengals.
And the season starts tonight.
Big game. Yeah, that's
true. Big game in the Big Easy.
This is a big night for us. We get to watch the debut of PFW.
7:30 leads right into football.
CSNNNEEE. And then we get to watch the Vikings and the Saints.
I didn't see your guy last night to ask him about the DVD, but I did mention it to Kevin Miller. And he said that's we should talk about that. So I said that you would.
I need it. I don't want to just talk about it.
I don't know. I think he's worried about the NFL footage, and if that's not, he said it might not be an issue for you guys, but it's something that he needs to talk to you guys about.
Oh, so we're cheating on the telecast?
No. I think if we continue to run it,
tell them we are the NFL.
Why are you?
It's our show. I want it on our website. We have a lot of loyal listeners and viewers who aren't in the CSNNNEE viewership area. That
Kevin Miller would
want
also
to
like
see
you
our
to stop
show.
Calling it CSS.
So if it's that important to you, pick up the phone and figure it out.
I forgot. You were supposed to remind me to call Len Mead.
I just told you that I talked to people there about it last night.
No, but I don't want talk. I want action. I want that
That's
DVD.
That's why you need to pick up the phone.
I want that DVD on my desk, damn it, with somebody's head.
I want Ness dead. I want his family dead.
Right. Sam,
I want my lunch here.
Now.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Sam in Chicago. Last year, this time, we were set to roll through the Bills into another Super Bowl run. If the Pats do let the Bengals win, what will be the top factor? And she gives four.
If they do let the Bengals win.
She gives four choices.
Okay.
The Pats secondary looked confused and got beat. Brady overthrew more than a few open targets. No pressure on the quarterback. Or a repeat of the Giants game, the D couldn't get off the field. Well, I would say it would be D.
I would say D, too.
And part of that would be because the secondary looks confused and got beat.
And probably because there was no pressure.
Right, but I'm going with D. It's the overall ineptitude of the defense.
Right.
Sure.
So, how come Andy got his food and we didn't?
Because he sucks up to me.
He probably would have whined if he didn't get it.
I'm going to whine now that I don't have a knife and fork to cut it with. Can I get
a knife?
It's
not a knife.
They did that one weird time where they cut it into slices for me, and I didn't like it that day, but now I kind of want it.
Let's see.
Seriously, are you going to give me a knife before? Got one in there?
Enough. Ken writes in, and Ken is from
did
New
he
Mexico.
Did he just chastise you?
He gave me enough.
Last time I heard that was Corey Dillon related.
No, that was get out.
Ken's from New Mexico.
Just go. Whatever.
He's got a few things he wants to talk about here. Number one, the Bengals game really does seem like a great bellwether game for how the 2010-11 season will look for the Patriots. Given such, give me your opinion, wins, losses, or general season results if, A, the Patriots are blown out by the Bengals and our lack of pass rush is exposed, B, the game is tight with either team winning, or C, the Patriots beat the Bengals decisively and the defense shows up. I'll tell you, personally, my prediction does not change with any of those things. It is just one game. So,
I think it's a big game.
It is a big game.
I think it's more than one game.
But if the Patriots get blown out because of a lack of pass rush, does your prediction for the season change?
Yeah, I've told you that all along. I think it's a bad.
Mine goes down to 9-7.
Okay. What about if the game is tight with either team winning?
Then it stays 10-6.
And what if the Patriots beat the Bengals decisively and the defense shows up?
I'll be intrigued.
It stays the same way it is.
Mine will stay the same, but I'll be intrigued.
I'll be leaning more toward improving that if I can see that again.
But I think they're going to have some good games.
Yeah,
I think
they have
some young athletic guys that are running around, and they might hit some things and make some things happen.
I made this comment yesterday. I think there are going to be games that this defense is going to force some turnovers. And that's not necessarily because I think the defense is great and full of playmakers. I think there are sometimes where you get turnovers, and that can really turn a game. I think consistently for 16 weeks, the offense is probably going to be pretty good. On the weeks that the defense, kind of works its way into forcing a couple of turnovers, I think they could win big. I think that you could easily win a game 38-17.
Because they'll get in 2007 mode where it's easier.
Exactly.
When you have the lead, you play from ahead, you pin your ears
back. And all of a sudden,
Kane looks better.
You finish the game plus two in the turnovers, or plus three. Generally, they don't turn the ball over a lot, although that became a little bit of a problem late in the preseason. at the Giants, where they turned it over a couple times. I think that they're going to score a lot of points, and if they can stop a couple of times, yeah, I think they could win games impressively.
The second thing Ken says is Ocho Cinco and Darius Butler have apparently been tweeting back and forth, and at the end, Ocho has mentioned that Butler is a very good corner. I'm tempted to put that on, well, every player will try to show respect to other players, but in your opinion, does Butler have some potential to be better than average?
Yes, I think we all talked about that coming off last year, that we had hopes for him based on the breaks he made on the balls, some of the plays he made.
Yeah,
I took a little bit of a hit this preseason when I didn't see him making enough plays that I was looking for, that he was there but didn't get his hand up, didn't. You know, I thought there were some passes completed on him where he had good coverage, just couldn't do anything to stop the actual completion, and I don't like to see that.
He has one bonus after this, but he wants our three most important points for the Patriots to win this game, and what do they have to do in order to pull it out. We'll get to that. We're going to do our picks later, so we'll talk about that. We do our picks. But his bonus question is, given the relationship between Belichick and Ocho Cinco, how many years does Ocho have left on his current contract, and could you see the Patriots wanting to take him on at the end of it? As well, would you want him on the team given his rather unique personality?
I do think there's a chance you could see him play here at some point.
You do?
Yeah. I don't know what his contract issue is, but Bill clearly loves him. He's okay with the passion that he brings, and sort of somehow that might be misdirected at times. He's okay with it. And I think he's really talented. You know, Ron Borges was asking Darius Butler yesterday some questions about, do we underrate Ocho Cinco because of his antics, his TV shows, his tweeting and all that? And Darius Butler said any corner that's played him, any defensive player that's put on the film, doesn't underrate him. They know what he can do. I think sometimes fans do look past him. He didn't have a good year last year, but he's a very talented guy. He had like four straight years of 1,400 yards or something not that long ago. I mean, the guy's put up some very good numbers in this league. I think there's a chance you could see him here when he's on the back nine. The Brady-like thing, where he plays a couple years somewhere else, Bill clearly respects him.
And he still had a 1,000-yard year last year, and I think the biggest reason why it wasn't a great year for him was because of the quarterback. You know, Palmer just didn't play well last year.
I can tell you one game I watched, Palmer was throwing all over the place.
The playoff game.
Jumping.
The playoff game was unbelievably bad. And I think I have a lot of respect for Carson Palmer. I think he is a very, very good quarterback. But last year, he did not look like one.
Bite. We're all in a bite.
I didn't realize that I was suspending operations
there.
Let me ask you a question.
I always get made fun of for talking too much.
Let me ask you a question. Do the Patriots own the airspace above the stadium? Do they own the airspace? Like, do they have the rights to the airspace?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, because strippers,
I think so, but the FAA can close it, right?
Strippers is telling us that WHDH right now has a helicopter over practice. So, I mean, could the Patriots tell them, get out of here?
I don't think so.
Because that could be a problem
going
forward.
You have to get the FAA to tell them.
Really?
I believe so.
I mean, I can just see, like, you know, Bill sending out a couple of those assistants waving this helicopter away. You know, because they
don't see that too, and I can see the helicopter saying no.
Yeah, but anyway, that's what Strippers is telling us. HDH has a copter over practice.
Yeah, so they've been here this morning too. All morning they've been flying around up there.
That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
He's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's funny because you know, the more the Patriots try to insulate themselves from getting information out, the more these outlets are going to keep trying and go to measures like that.
But exactly. That's the way it works. We Andy and I talked before we went down. Do you think the Patriots will sort of head it off at the pass, have some sort of official, you know, whether Bill was not scheduled to speak today, by the way. We should mention that as well. Thursday is not a day that he speaks. So what I was wondering was, does it make sense to have Bill maybe issue a statement and take a question or two and then you stop it? I mean, you control it. You stop it right away. 5 minutes max. Or have Tom come out and say, listen, I appreciate all the interest and all that. I'm fine. Whatever. Would that be the better way to go about it? And then you maybe avoid these helicopters flying over the stadium when you're worried about, is anybody watching practice?
Right.
And stuff like that. I don't know what the right answer is, but I would have chosen A. I would have cut it off at the pass and
I think
put some sort
of. I think they tried to with Stacy. I think that was a kind of a,
half a step.
But I think he was put in a position where he had to say, I don't have any information. I'm trying to give you the information that he will not come in. That's basically what he said. I'm here to let you know that Tom will not be coming in the locker room. I think it might have been in the everybody's best interest to have Tom come in the locker room. And that way, Fred, you said, as long as he's going to play on Sunday, well, those guys, they don't know if Tom's going to play on Sunday because they haven't seen him. And, you know, the media is not out of their element here to say, well, I don't know if he's okay. I haven't seen him. I think they're within their rights to continue digging to find out if he's going to be okay.
Sure. Sure. So, be interesting to see what happens when Eric comes back from his practice report, assuming he will come back. I'm not sure.
He'll be here.
All right.
I just hope he decided to look for Brady and didn't just see if he could get it off the transcript.
Nate has just a quick question. He wants to know why Matthew Slater's still on the team. Joel from Merrimack says, hey, guys, and hi, Eric. Couldn't resist. Well, we all had one hell of a scare this morning, and I'm hearing a rumor that T.O. was, in fact, driving the van and that he was wearing a mask and cape and that he was crying into his cell phone. Anyway, on to the gist of my email. I know that 2007 was a special team that will probably never be reproduced, but in looking at this team, with all of the weapons at Brady's hands, I actually think this team could actually be scarily similar to 2007, at least offensively. What do you guys think? I'm not going down that path again, because I listened to Randy Moss at the beginning of the season last year saying this offense could be as good as the year before, and we were just found out how hard it is to do what they did in 2007.
Yep.
And, you know, that was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. They broke records that had stood for many years in that season, and I just, you know, I can't expect it to all come together like it did that year.
I agree.
I agree with all of that. But on paper, I do think this group has the potential to be as diverse, have as many people score touchdowns, have a variety of guys like Stallworth and Gaffney making plays, all these running backs scoring touchdowns. I don't think it'll be better because it's special. I don't think, as he said, you can't reproduce that season. But the versatility of the core of this team, to me, could be very, very good.
You know, it's funny. I agree with Andy in that I think the versatility could be similar. Where I think it will not even come close is I don't think Moss is anywhere near, and I don't think Welker is anywhere near based on coming back off a knee surgery. I think those two guys are going to be significantly lesser players than they were in 07. And that's probably the biggest reason why I think it'll be hard to duplicate that. The versatility, I think Andy makes a good point, because you had Stallworth and you had Gaffney. Maybe it's a little different now with Hernandez and Gronkowski.
Yeah.
But there are guys there that potentially – could make plays.
And remember that 07 year, I think week one or week two when the Patriots are down in New York and, you know, Moss lit them up and he did the same thing in Miami. He had the three touchdowns where he just basically just took the ball away from two receivers in the end zone. Miami's defense and the Jets' defense is much, much better than it was back then. And those teams you have to play, you know, so there's four games right there that you're not going to score the type of points that you did that year. So right there alone is a big difference, I think.
But I do think Moss could be good. I think Moss could have a
special year. I think Moss
year.
Could have a special year. And I think that those other weapons, the Gronkowskis and the Aaron Fernandezes and Hernandezes and, you know, all those, you know, those things will help Moss. You know, where in the past Moss has helped the other guys, this year maybe guys could help Moss do something, you know. So we'll see. Max from Concord, New Hampshire.
I'm down on Moss. I think it's going to be the worst of Moss's 4 years.
Well, he's looked fine in the preseason.
Yeah.
He's looked very good.
You know, I mean, at Atlanta, he would have had another touchdown if Brady had thrown the ball a little bit earlier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He still looks like he has breakaway speed. Max from Concord, New Hampshire. I really like the pick of Gerard Page to shore up the safety position, but really disliked the Tracy White addition. He is really that... Is he really that amazing at special teams to replace someone like Sergio Brown? Seems to me Brown is fast, hard hitter, and could contribute on special teams. He nearly had a punt block in the preseason and got some limited reps at DB or safety. Brown seems like a playmaker, and isn't that what's needed on the Pats defense rather than three guys standing in zone areas watching long receptions? Brown versus White. What do you think? Well,
I don't think either one of them was going to play a down a defense.
I kind of like Sergio Brown.
I liked him too, but I don't think either one of them would play a down a defense. You're talking strictly special teams.
I don't really know anything about Tracy White.
Tracy White is a 9-year special teams player. He has two career starts.
Derek from Arizona says, thanks for letting me call in yesterday. Just saw that Edelman is back at practice in full pads. So we don't have to wait for Eric to give us the report. We get it from our listeners. How is it that our listeners know and we don't?
Is there any way that he read it off of Eric's blog?
I don't know.
I mean, I assume someone blogged it.
A lot of chewing going on today.
I don't know. I'm just gonna. I keep saying things and no one's answering me.
Because you're catching both of us eating.
Mike is from the University of Illinois, home of the ridiculous one. What is that?
Mendenhall.
Oh, is that right?
You didn't know. I mean,
how important is the 12th man at the Razor this year to help the defense? There is no reason why the Bengals offense
Mendenhall
should be able to
is
hear
ridiculous.
Anything. I inferred from your previous comments that hasn't been the case at the Razor in the past. That's true.
Ever.
And this year, because of my app, everyone's going to be doing things during between
plays.
My
app.
Interesting choice of words.
What
there.
Are you doing?
That's just in the club. Why didn't we
Are
sign
you
it's your app?
Us? You're not going to be with us during the season.
No, I will.
Either?
I am going to be there.
My app. Interesting. Maybe it's not. Parilo.
Why didn't we sign Aaron Schobel? I know he retired. The one thing he can do is put pressure on. You know what he meant.
Not really.
The one thing he could do is put pressure on the quarterback. If you look up Aaron Schobel in Yahoo, it returns Schobel's info but shows Chad Johnson's picture. Omen? What do you expect from Darius Butler and Devin McCourty versus
omen?
T.O. and Ocho Cinco? I don't know.
Chad Johnson as in Chad Ocho
Yeah, Cinco? I think they made an offer to Schobel or at least figured out if he was
Reportedly,
interested.
They kicked the tires.
Yeah, they kicked the tires. But he didn't want to play anymore.
He retired.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard to blame a team for not making a signing when a guy retired. Right?
Fred's chewing again.
Well, why can't you say something?
I had nothing to add. He retired. Paul said it very nicely.
Well, I think if Schobel had gone to the Texans, then you could have some basis for saying, well, the Patriots should have tried harder. But he didn't even go to the team that is in his hometown. And as we speak of...
what do you got, Twinkle?
Wow.
Oh, he's got to change his little condom on his microphone.
Here he is. Eric is back from the field.
Yep.
And a lot of news I'm sure you have for us.
Much ado about nothing.
Edelman's back.
Edelman's back. Maroney's
back. We already
back.
Knew that.
So what are you asking me for then? If you
what do we
know?
Need you for is a great question, Eric.
What do we got?
Brady was there in full pads, throwing, stretching, participating, doing all the things you would expect him to do. Seems fine. Obviously didn't talk to anybody, but was
anybody?
Out there. Anybody on our side of the field. Yeah, he seemed to be doing everything as normal.
How was the
around.
Helicopter? Was there a helicopter at practice?
There was no helicopter at practice. No.
Oh, really? Strippers emailed us and said HDH had a helicopter over the practice field.
They might have before, but there wasn't any while we were out there.
Oh, really?
Not that I saw. They shot it down.
I wonder if we made a call and made them move.
Might have been.
I think a sniper took it out.
It wouldn't be the first time a helicopter's tried to, you know, circle the fields and get video. There was one last training camp or a year before or whatever that they tried to do that, and I think they were told not to or whatever. But No, so that was it. Yeah, Edelman, Maroney are back. Moss, obviously, he was back too, looking his usual Randy self. Did you tell him what?
his usual Wait a Randy minute. Self.
He wanted to have sex?
No, his name is Randy. He was his usual Randy self.
You used it as an adjective.
No, I didn't. I used it as his proper name.
Maybe an adverb. I think it's an adverb, actually.
If Paul were doing things that he normally does, it would be his usual Paul
self. I don't
want
to see Paul Randy.
what else you got?
That's pretty much it.
So Edelman running around looked good?
Well, he was in uniform, full right. pads. Same with Maroney.
Yep.
Same with everybody who was missing
Fred, they
yesterday.
They don't see anything.
Did you mention Kazier?
No, there was no Kazier.
And there was no Terrence Wheatley. Neither of them have been around recently. Right. And, of course, Ojanaka, as we know.
Right.
So
he's not allowed.
Well, he can't be.
Right. That's what we've been saying.
All right. Good. Anything else for us, Eric, before we let you go?
Did you?
Now, do you mean that for today or in a more long-term
Did you tell
sense?
The story about our friend? Okay. Well, so then we don't need to worry about
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The grin and the thumbs up.
From Randy.
So,
from a Randy.
Since you just got here and you didn't really have a chance to chime in, what do you think about all this Tom Brady coverage today? Are you
well? I mean, it was legitimate in the beginning. It's called for because you hear that the guy was in a car accident. You don't know how bad it is. You know, it's coming on the heels of the big contract rumor talk that was going on yesterday, and he spoke yesterday. And
jaws of life were used.
Yeah, jaws of life
for
were
somebody.
Used for somebody. You don't know who it was. You don't know the extent of Brady's injuries. You don't know where he is. If he's in the hospital, if he's not. The first report I got was that he was sent to the hospital, which was obviously inaccurate.
Erroneous.
So, yeah, I think the coverage was warranted. But by now, it's, you know, unless something develops with one of the, you know, the victim in the other car, I don't really think it's that big a story. It's a mention on the news tonight, but it shouldn't be the lead story. He's not hurt. It's not affecting. It doesn't seem any preparations for the game. He was a little bit late for a meeting this morning. He caught up. He went to a walkthrough. He's back on the field. You move on.
You know, you really take your chance with these choco chip cookies. Sometimes the wrapper is really hard to open.
Yeah.
We've moved on from Brady.
You need the
jaws
of life to open up your cookies over there.
Right.
You'll find a way.
So what about that guy?
Where there's a will, there's a way.
The other person in the car, you mean? What guy?
Well, we talked about it earlier. Evidently, Andy wasn't paying attention. You just said something to him. Did you tell the story about our friend? And I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh.
And he goes, why don't you listen, Earl? I have no idea well, who you're talking about.
He said the smile and thumbs up, and Fred got it.
Yeah. They saw Randy.
Oh, the Randy.
Randy yeah. being Randy.
Guy. Oh, okay. Randy I remember gave that
him
story
the,
now.
Randy gave him the thumbs up today.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Feeling Randy.
All right. I heard was, did you tell the story about our friend? and somehow I was, like, negligent in not knowing what you were
well,
talking
because
about.
In our defense, we don't have that many friends, so... It narrows the list down.
In my defense, he's not one of them.
Oh, come on.
He's not.
You don't consider him a friend?
Of us?
No, not Randy.
He wouldn't be able to pick us out of a crowd.
Not Randy. Our friend from the sports hub.
Macapella?
Yeah.
We're going to do it.
You don't consider him a friend?
Absolutely do.
Okay, that's who I'm talking about.
One of my more psychotic friends, but yes, friend nonetheless.
Yeah, well, you know, we all have our
wandering the locker room
issues.
Saying, tell me what Deval Patrick's done. What's he done? That's what he was asking random people. Howard Ullman of the AP walks by. Howard, tell me, let's get to it. What has he done?
Scott in Tucson. Hey, guys, love the show. I'm an iTunes subscriber and listen at work. Since I know you love doing these, I decided to put together an over-under rookie edition for you
yeah.
guys.
Love it.
Over-under rookie edition brought to you by Scott in Tucson. By the way, lunch today was brought to us by Chris in Connecticut.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you very much, Chris, who does his Patriots daily interviews. Oh. Does a very good job with that.
I need to go to Tucson. I saw them on. They have these hot dogs that are rolled in bacon, and then they fry the hot dog in the bacon. Ooh, it looked good. Then they put, like, Mexican spices on it.
Even I can't take that.
Looked explosive, if you know what I'm
saying.
I'm
sure you could.
Scott says, Devin McCourty, over-under, 2 block kicks.
Under.
Under.
Under. Under.
Rob Gronkowski, over-under, 6 TDs.
Oh, over.
Over.
Oh. I'm going to say over.
Andy's offended by that question.
6 in each hand.
Jermaine Cunningham, 5 sacks.
Under.
Under.
I'd
be happy if he plays 5
If
games.
He gets over 5 sacks, that's,
under.
That's a huge win.
I don't know about that. Derek Burgess had 5 last year. I can't remember any of the 5.
Brandon Spikes, 65 tackles.
Over.
He better be.
If he starts, if he's the starting inside linebacker and doesn't have over 65 tackles, what?
Yeah, over.
Taylor Price, 42 receptions.
Under.
Under.
Aaron Hernandez, 450 yards receiving.
Over.
Over. No, under.
I'm going to say over.
Over.
Under.
And finally, Zoltan Mesko, 45-yard punting average.
Under.
Under.
Really?
What did they say, 65 tackles?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I'll say over for Spikes.
What, did you check really Guyton?
Yeah.
What did Guyton was at 100, right?
91.
Yeah.
91.
And Chris Ferreira writes in, says, just thought it would be of interest to our listeners. We have video of Tom Brady practicing earlier as the featured video on Patriots.com right now.
Good, Chris. Good job.
Be sure to press F5, though.
So if you don't believe us, you can go to Patriots.com and see it for yourself.
Well, you know what they can do with video these days.
Had some over-unders on the show last night.
Was I not included on the lunch menu today?
No.
No, you weren't.
Sorry.
We got it together here.
Oh, okay.
And I asked Fred. He said to go without you.
Yeah, we weren't waiting for you, just so you know.
No, okay. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
We did have a buyer.
Poor Eeyore.
We just got it. What Chris. Did we do? Transfer the money?
Chris
to...
in Connecticut.
We Western.
You wired it.
Over under, Tom Brady, 4,500 yards passing and 28.5 touchdowns.
You have to do both? Under. Under in yards. And, I'll say over in the touchdowns.
I went over.
Why is
over.
Your mic off? Oh, are you just not talking
my
into
mic?
It?
My mic?
Oh, there you go.
He just wasn't burping. Talking into okay. it as he usually does.
I went over.
As he's want to do.
I think the Patriots are going to be behind a little bit, and I think they're going to have to throw a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the yards are going to go up a little.
Okay. I think that Rams game is what we're going to see almost every game this year.
Gronkowski.
High scoring on both sides.
The other team's backups are in, and then they'll take advantage.
Wow. No. Now you're.
Now you. Now.
What wow. happened? Did you just
Mr. negative
him?
Over there?
What?
I just
what?
Oh, I just lost. There's something wrong with my headphones. I think.
Can you hear me now?
Because I just lost you.
Everything's
like you
falling
guys
apart around.
Claiming no. Fred was gone.
As I said, new board, same there. Monkey.
Rob Gronkowski,
just
Aaron
throws
Hernandez
his hand in the air while eating his sandwich. What'd you say? I missed it.
12.5 touchdowns. The rookie tight ends.
Under.
Oh, combined.
Combined.
Oh, the rookie tight ends. I wasn't listening.
Over.
Sorry. Over.
That's why they hate him, Paul.
Yeah, because you think it's probably going to be something like 8-4. So
or 10-2.
That's a good number.
That's still 12, Andy.
I know, but I got the half. The half is a tough one here.
I went over, but
13 just, touchdowns is a lot.
Yes, it is.
I don't know the numbers, but I put them in one of my pulse stories about
I'm
the tight
eight
ends.
And five.
Rookie tight ends here haven't done a damn thing since, what's his name, in the 70s?
Russ Francis?
Yeah, nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing.
Fred Taylor. Over under 10.5 games played.
Over. I think this is going to be a good
this
year for him.
This is the year.
Say yes. Over.
Yeah. He's no longer Fred.
And the last one, Lawrence Maroney, over under 600 yards.
Under.
Over.
Over.
See, I think if Taylor plays more than 10.5, I go under on the yards.
That's a good point.
Fred, you were asking me about the coverage before. This is what peeves me about local news.
And what is this?
Peeves.
It's
and he used to work in news, you know.
Yeah. It's 7 hours after the fact.
Yeah.
It's not breaking news anymore. They have to take the breaking news graphic off of there. It broke 8 hours ago.
So you're okay with ESPN developing story?
A lot of the people, though, that watch Neck and don't
developing
get up until
story
noon.
Is more likely, is more acceptable.
But no matter when
and,
you're
and why is it breaking still breaking news?
But that's what he just said.
You don't listen even when I'm talking directly to you.
What?
That's got to hurt a little bit.
Just, he did it to Andy and I, both of us, on separate occasions earlier in the show.
It's he also said we don't want to make assumptions, but we assume Brady will be at practice.
That was a quote, direct quote.
People getting on you for predicting the car crash today?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Phil played it.
Did you tell Capella about that?
Unlike the commercial that he couldn't play. That's why we had dead air in that break.
You had another dead air
he
break?
He predicted a car crash. Why is he predicting a car crash?
Are you saying you didn't have dead air in that break?
Capella.
Oh.
10 seconds is dead air. And it was felt longer than that.
Oh. Sawyer from Waterloo says, hey, Fred, Paul, Eric, and Special Master.
That's me, Stephen Burbank.
If you missed the last episode of Pros vs. Joes, there was a quarterback on there named Sean Brady. Anybody know where he played?
Michigan.
Northeastern.
Northeastern. Paul got it. Ding, ding, ding.
Also, was he a Joe or a pro?
Malden Catholic and Northeastern.
I assume
had
he
to
was
be a
Joe.
Right?
I don't know if he had, like, a cup of coffee in Saskatchewan.
But the pros are actually legit pros on that
show,
aren't they?
Most of them are, yeah. It's like Bo Jackson and, well.
He may have, I don't think so. He may have kicked around the CFL or something, but I don't think
I saw a promo.
Really small.
I saw a promo for that episode.
Good college quarterback.
And the promo made it look like the Joes won the game.
Oh, the Joes win.
Did they
I've
win?
Seen Joes win.
He was probably the Joe, right?
But it was, wasn't it Jeff Garcia was quarterbacking?
Frisco.
He was still a pro. Geez.
Pro what?
He was an all-pro, wasn't he?
If it looks like a rat and smells like a rat. I'm with T.O.
Unbelievable.
What?
And what if he is?
A rat? I don't like rats.
Yeah.
They kind of skeeve me out.
Also, you mentioned Mike Vick was on there. He sucked something awful. They do a drill with a 10-yard pass.
I'm glad Full was on the end of that. Because
they do
just...
a drill with a 10-yard pass where the receiver is basically uncovered, and he couldn't even get the ball to him. He truly was one of the worst pros I've ever seen on that show. Maybe they should have had a dog. Never mind.
Oh. That's why Algae Crumpler is so good now.
Well, you know what's funny? That came up yesterday before we did All Access. Burton and Mike Reese were talking about Algae Crumpler, and Burton said he thought he had great hands. And Mike said, well, I don't know about great hands. He's got good hands. And I came in and sat down and said, what are we arguing about? You know, as I'm wont to do, I wanted to get involved, Eric.
That's what I want to know.
So they said what they were arguing about. I go, I'm with Steve on this one. He has great hands. And Mike said, really? I go, yeah, he's used to catching 95-mile-an-hour bullets at his ankles from Michael Vick.
Yeah.
You have to have great hands to do that. And what did Reese say?
Good point, Paul.
That's a good point.
maybe PFW could have their own pros versus Joes. Eric and Andy in a scabble match? I think they meant Scrabble, right?
Or Scrapple.
Can you imagine all the pompous words Eric would try to get in all the potty words Andy would have? That could be PFW's first paper.
I do use potty words in Scrabble.
That would be funny.
It would be Eric, and then boob.
I use denouement in my Pulse story.
Andy would have the Urban Dictionary out, right?
Abe Lincoln.
And you would use ain't and try to use it as a contraction in slang and then put a T in the front of it on the next time.
Taints are everywhere.
Fred, in all seriousness, you brought up the Urban Dictionary. We're playing the Bengals. I was immediately thinking, what was it? Cincinnati bow tie or steamer? How can we get one of those things?
Cincinnati
bow tie. It was.
Wow.
Okay.
No, there is. Yeah.
Easy.
Hit my elbow.
You have to Google it.
No, I don't.
We used to have the Urban Dictionary word of the week before you got here, Kevin.
Yeah, we
had production value to this show.
Wasn't sponsored by anybody. But...
Wait, what's my name, Andy?
Kevin.
That was very strange.
Wow. What did you call him?
Caught you.
He gets thrown off when I don't call him
Steve.
Very
strange.
Every once in a while, I actually have to think what his real name is.
I do too.
I'm so used to calling him Steve or Phil.
No
picks. Oh, geez, we got to hurry.
And you've
do you do that?
We have picks.
You've had poor Mike and Philly on hold.
Go to the
talk
call.
To Mike and
quick,
Philly while, you
while you're looking for your list of games.
All right, Mike and Philly, how you doing?
Hey, Fred. You know, don't worry about it. I'm used to you leaving hold callers on hold for about 45
I'm sorry about that.
The charm of the show.
So what's up, Mike?
Listen, I want to bust your I want to give you guys a hard time because, Fred, I'm listening to yesterday's podcast. I'm walking around Philadelphia today. And you're talking about the point.
Did you see the bell?
Chance. Yeah, no, I haven't gotten there yet.
It's not all it's cracked up to be.
A year and a half later, he's still getting mileage out of that.
He's a quality comedian.
Okay, proceed.
Perillo goes, you know, a 0.1% chance, I'll eliminate that. And Fred goes, well, you never know. Tom Brady could get hit by a car. Fred's are killing us.
Yeah.
What else you got this week? What do you think about Moss?
What?
What do you think about Moss? What could keep him from playing?
yeah, seriously, Fred. No, zip
Will
there,
Fork,
right?
You want to talk about Will Fork?
You could get all tied up.
The pro Patriots are killing us. You're going to get hit by a lightning bolt next time you say something.
Won't. I'll try not to do that
I
anymore.
Used to think that, too, but he has done it way too many I mean, he made fun of a state trooper's funeral today at the beginning of the show.
No, I did not.
You did what?
No,
he
I
did.
Didn't.
Well,
we can roll the tape. He was making fun of a state trooper's funeral.
That is the prototypical Andy Hardism
They had a car wrapped around a tree,
yeah.
And you didn't know what it was. And I said, there's Brady's accident.
And it's like an unbelievable mangled mess.
State trooper
and then
wake.
All of a sudden the scroll comes out. It's a state trooper's
And he kept laughing.
Andy, these are big words coming from a guy who made fun of the Make-A-Wish kid.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a very good point right there, Mike.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Mike.
I said the same thing out loud on my couch watching. I was like, there's the fat kid, and then Make-A-Wish.
See? Because they didn't let you know early on what you were supposed to think.
Well, you know, because they like to assume that people, you know, don't automatically jump to those
conclusions. Paul, you know it's the rule of TV. Fat kids, animals, they're funny. So you see a fat kid, you start laughing and say, fat kid, and then you find out he's dying. Not funny.
Not so
All right,
funny.
Quick Patriots question before you guys get to the picks.
Okay.
Preseason, they've been running, and Reese has been talking about it all the time, that they're running a lot more out of the, with Brady under center instead of shotgun, a lot less spread. Do you think this is something we're going to see in the season, or do you think they're kind of keeping their, just playing it vanilla in the regular season? I mean, do you think it's reaction to having better tight ends? Because it seems like it'll be a better way to play action and get the ball down the field to Moss a bit, like more like they did in 07.
I think you'll see it all. And I think Bill's answer to that question was, I think you'll see us in the gun. Because he was asked directly about that the third?
Couple of games.
Second
ago.
Preseason game. Bert Breer has been all over this from the beginning. He's been trying to tell us how much
making
they're under
a mountain
center.
Out of a molehill?
Yes, making a huge mountain out of what I consider at this point to be a molehill.
I wouldn't read too much into it at this point.
I do think that they have some opportunities for those big-time shot plays out of play action, maybe under center.
Sure.
But I don't think you'll see a discernible increase in snaps under center.
Last year, some of the reasons they were playing so much spread was they didn't feel like they had anyone at the tight end position that they could really put on the field, so you might as well get more receivers out there. But now with
they always had tight ends on the field, though. I mean, I agree that they weren't the caliber potentially that we have now, but there was a lot of things that Baker and Watson were involved in together, and Watson was on the field all the time.
And Brady has said in the past he likes the gun. He likes how he can see the field.
Yeah.
So if he really likes it, he's going to
why change?
He's going to get it.
Yeah.
My worry with the spread is that it gets you between the 20s really well, but that they struggled in the red zone last year. I wonder if relying too much on the spread had something to do with it.
Well,
but that's any passing game.
Maybe, but I think they also have Gronkowski this year, which in the red zone is going to make a big difference, as we've already seen.
A G-force.
I think your point about the spread being good between the 20s, though, is a valid one.
But I don't think that really is just about the gun or not the gun. That's about any spread passing attack, whether the guy starts out under center or not. You don't have as much room to work, so all those receivers are in a confined area. It's not as easy.
Well, you can certainly sell play action better under center, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, unlike your thing when, you know,
run the draw.
It's hard
run
to
the
take a draw and pretend that you're not going to throw.
The blood soap.
Yeah, just to
because play action out of the spread, the draw is actually the change of pace. So if you're going to play action out of that, you're like trying to trick them into thinking you're not running, and then you're not running.
Son of a bitch,
really
they didn't
work.
All right, Mike.
All right.
Okay.
Go get a cheesesteak.
All right, we got to make our predictions here.
Actually cut him off. Yeah. Sentence.
That's all right.
It's Kevin back there.
I was going to say his real name's Kevin. To us.
No, that was his phone.
No, nope. Nope, wasn't his fault.
No, no, it was his phone.
No, no.
Okay.
All right. All right, so this is it. Week one of the NFL season. So, of course, it's time to go around the league and make our picks. There's no bye week this week for anybody. So
a bye from what?
So
you've had 8 months of bye.
So all the teams are playing, so there's a lot of games that we have to do.
Oh, yeah. How are we ever going to get it done in 17 minutes?
You have to hurry.
Wow.
When none of us know anything about
the other
teams.
There we go. That's the music I was waiting for. I was just filling time to have the music.
So
like
just
a true pro.
Just to be sure, we weren't able to sell the picks contest this year again.
What's that?
We weren't able to sell the picks contest.
No.
You know, this not the 2010 PFW In Progress picks contest.
No.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
No.
No?
SBLI.
I actually thought about that last night. Yeah. I also thought
about
getting...
It would have been a nice thought to have someone in marketing think about it, too.
This week's picks are brought to you by Chris in Connecticut.
Yes. We
How's
love
that?
Chris.
How's right? that?
The Stanford man.
Right? All right.
He's from Stanford.
Yeah. All right. Well, it all starts tonight, fellas.
Tonight.
And I think we'll all be watching.
Maybe.
Eric,
I'll catch some of it, yeah.
Andy will see the first quarter and a half. He'll fall asleep. Fred right. Fred will
yeah,
still
you're
be
not gonna
wide.
Watch the whole game. What, are you crazy?
No, there's Him. No there's,
there's no
way
he's going to
no
watch
way
the whole
he
game.
Watches the whole thing. I'll watch the whole
wrong.
Thing if it stays close.
Yeah?
Fred will watch every hour of the pregame, postgame, everything.
Well, for the half hour for our show, I have to
Well, that's
yeah. PFW. Tonight.
You can watch us, and it's a nice lead-in to the game.
Right.
What time's the game start?
I don't know. It says here 8:30.
It says here.
NBC has a big pregame.
He sounded like Kramer. Elaine, it says here. You
check us out, and then flip over to Rodney and Peter King and all those guys. Whoever's on that
all right.
show.
Well, anyway, it's Minnesota.
Rodney King.
Oh God!
Why can't we all just get along?
Can we all
Minnesota
just make a pick? At New Orleans, the rematch of the NFC Championship.
That's my
game.
Part.
No, Fred.
No,
he tells
you
me the number.
It hasn't been your part in a lot of years now. Unless you want to write it all down, then it can be your part.
Actually, you do say what the game is, and you say what the number is.
Right.
No.
Yeah, because it goes to Andy
right?
first.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. So, Paul, what's the number for the...
all right. So now we're back to Minnesota at New Orleans, where the Saints are at home, favored by 5.
You
Andy
like
Hart.
That, Eric.
Can I get an injury report? Well,
injury report. We only have 15 minutes. Let's
okay,
go.
I'm taking the Saints at home. Big emotional victory for them. I'm a little worried about their defense, but luckily the Vikings offense, not what it could be with the headache guy and the hip guy and all kinds of guys, yeah. the ankle guy.
Yeah.
I'm just going to refer to them as their injuries at this point in the season.
Mm.
I say the Saints roll.
Yep.
Sean Payton will have a big speech and drink a couple Miller Lights and have a couple
They're
sticks
gonna
of gum.
Hammer
and
be
rolling.
Hit the old man, and he's going to be afraid of the rain and going out to get something at the store. Wasn't that what you were telling me about?
Like
something like that. Yeah, Saints win big. They roll. Vikings are going to be horrible. They're not going to make the playoffs this year.
The Big Easy. That'll be the headline tomorrow.
And yeah, it will
Times
be.
Times Picayune. Yep.
I like the defending champ in this game. I think they generally had a pretty good time of it. And I'm going to say the Saints will win at home with all that emotion, but I'm not sure it's going to be a repeat of last year for the Saints. I think they're going to struggle a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But they will not tonight.
They won't make the playoffs.
I'm with you guys. Saints win. Favre does not finish the game because of injury, but he does start again next week.
Oh, he always starts.
Yeah,
he just pops a few pills,
but he
drinks
does
a
not
few
finish
beers.
The game.
Oh, that's interesting. What do Sean Payton
all right,
and Brett
next
Favre
game,
have in common?
Now we move from Thursday to Sunday, the real day for football. And let's start with we'll start with Cleveland and Tampa Bay, Paul. What's the number?
Cleveland Steamer.
Are you really going to do this so I have to go all over the sheet?
I'm just doing it in the order that the NFL.com
Which is why you don't do it.
The NFL.com.
Cleveland at Tampa. The Bucs are favored at home by 3.
Wow.
It's actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
I hate the Bucs. I don't respect anything they're doing on or off the field in that organization at this point. I'll take the Cleveland Browns. I think they're still trying. Mike Holmgren in town. Jake Delhomme. I'm going to assume he doesn't throw 13 picks in this game, and they win on the road.
I disagree. I think Tampa at home will win, and I think they'll win by more than 3.
Okay.
One game lead.
I believe, you can't tell in week one, but I believe Tampa Bay is the worst team in football. Therefore, I am taking the Cleveland Browns, who aren't much better than the worst team in football, but I think they'll be better than the Tampa
Bucks
Bay Bucks.
Bucks are the worst organization in football.
I agree. Cleveland, I think, will win this one going away.
I'm with Paul. I'm going
with Cleveland.
They
will go away because they have to go back to Cleveland.
Next game is, Paul, I hope... If you can find this one on your list.
It's a long one.
Of 16 games. Miami at Buffalo.
Buffalo is a home dog. There are a lot of home dogs in week one, by the way. And Buffalo
dog.
Is
What's
one
up,
of them.
Home dog?
Getting 3.
Buffalo getting 3? Is that what you said?
I will take the Miami Dolphins. They're the better football team to win, cover, do whatever they need to do. I'm not sold on Chad Henne. I am sold on Chan Gailey and the Buffalo Bills.
So unless the other direction,
unless CJ Spiller has about 5 80-yard touchdown runs, they're going to stink from week to week.
I think the Bills could be one of the worst teams in football this year.
They could be up there.
Most believe that.
I also think Miami's one of the more overrated, or at least their quarterback is more overrated. But in this game, they'll win by more than 3 on the road. So I'll take Miami both ways.
I like Miami. I'm not as down on Henne as Andy and Eric are, but I also am not... sold that he is the next coming of Tom Brady either. I've seen some people, you know, have him light years ahead of Sanchez, and he's a much better young quarterback than these guys. I haven't seen that, but I think he proved to be a capable guy last year. I think Miami's much better than Buffalo. For that reason, I got to go with the better football team.
I have a few surprises this week for my faithful fans who never go wrong going with my picks. And but this is one of my upsets. Buffalo is actually going to win this game against Miami. Has no indication of how Buffalo's going to do for the rest of the season, but they're going to pull this game out similarly to how they almost pulled the game out last year against the Patriots on opening day. But this year they're going to do it.
All right.
So,
okay.
There you go.
Next game?
Why are we all looking at each other?
Next game.
I'm not allowed to read the games anymore.
You know what time it is now, Andy.
Next
Call
game.
A bird.
next game, still a Sunday at
We'd
1.
We'd be rolling right along if we did it the way we normally do it, Eric. But
this
we
is how we do
it.
Now. Indianapolis at Houston.
Can you give me the Coke?
Indianapolis at Houston.
Big game.
Another home dog, Andy. The Texans.
How many Cokes has that been for you, Paul?
I don't know. I don't count. The Texans are getting 2.5.
This is interesting because I, in our paper, picked the Texans to win the division, to unseat
You also
the
picked
Colts.
Them to win the game.
And I also picked them to win the game, according to Eric, who brings these types of things to the table, thankfully. I'm going to go with the Texans to have a big, big win to open the season and kind of put an initial stamp on what I think they're going to be this year. And that's a playoff team and get Big Brother off their back. Mario Williams is going to be in Peyton Manning's face all day long.
Okay. I agree, Andy. I think the Texans are going to win big in this home opener. Big for them, you know, 10 points maybe will be big.
I think big for them is just win.
But, yeah, I think they're going to do what Andy said. They're going to be a playoff team, and it's going to start with a statement win at home in week one.
I'm curious what the Colts are this year. It seems every year we hear a ton about the Colts. I've heard nothing about the Colts this year.
Yeah, they've been.
Oh, I didn't want to mention.
It's all Jets.
They added a cone of silence for the Peyton Manning contract talks, according
really?
To Bob Irsay. From now on, cone of silence.
Oh, Jim.
Jim, yeah, Jim. Bob was his dad who gave him the team, right?
Yeah, he's dead now, but. That's okay.
So he's not talking. I told you. Well, Bob Irsay's got nothing to say.
Come on, we got
to
hurry.
I said I like the Colts.
I like the Texans
finally
in this game.
He likes
I'm going to go with the Texans as well.
Wow.
I think that this is the changing of the guard.
Yep.
Right here.
That.
Denver travels to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars.
Tim Tebow gets to debut in Jacksonville, where everybody there
wanted him to debut this year.
Yeah.
How about that?
Just on the wrong team.
In that baseball hat with the clipboard in his hand. Anyway.
He'll play.
Jacksonville by 2.5.
Two and a half. I'm not
sold
on the Jags.
They're going to pass me the Coke.
And is Maurice Maurice Jones-Drew playing? Anybody taking this seriously?
Tony Montana over here. He wants his Coke.
Nobody's taking this seriously but me, apparently.
Oh, Mr. Andy wants to talk football.
Is Maurice Jones-Drew playing?
Who cares? Just make a pick.
He called that whole situation a non-issue.
Okay. Well, I will still take the
I'm glad
Denver
you needed
Broncos.
That information.
Well, I definitely would have taken the Broncos, but I had to pause for a minute if he's healthy. I'm going to take the Broncos on the road. We all know that Josh McDaniels starts hot.
I was going to say the same thing.
And Tim Tebow plays in this game. I'm going with Denver, too. They're going to win. Jacksonville is going to try to steal the title of worst team in the league from Buffalo and Tampa Bay.
I think this is the prototypical battle between those 7-9, 8-8, nothing teams that not bad enough to stink but not good enough to be playoff teams. I like Denver.
I'm going to take Jacksonville in this game.
Jake Steelenville.
All right. Sunday
John
at
Rook,
1.
You want to throw any predictions out there?
I'll take Denver.
Okay.
John Rook's here. Atlanta at Pittsburgh.
Sorry, another home dog here. Steelers getting 2.5 at home.
I don't know if you guys have followed the little controversy of reporting out of Pittsburgh where they reported Dennis Dixon running with the ones and the whole media policy uproar.
Right.
I don't like Dennis Dixon. I love Rashard Mendenhall.
I've never met him.
I mean as a player and as a leader of men on a football field. I'm
going to
take the Atlanta Falcons to win on the road because
Mendenhall
will have 200 yards, but the Falcons will still win.
Yeah, Falcons.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Cover. What was the spread?
2.5.
Yeah, Falcons win this plenty to cover.
Matt Ryan.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay. Matty Heisman.
Yeah, I like Atlanta. I think it's just tough to play without your quarterback. And
but Mendenhall
even
has
even though
yards.
You're prepared for it without Roethlisberger.
Right, even if the quarterback's
overrated.
I think
you're playing a good team. Atlanta, I think, is a good team. Not a great team, but a good team.
I'll be rooting for Atlanta, but I got a gut that Pittsburgh's going to
defend.
You certainly
do.
I have a gut.
Defense is going to keep it close, and the Steelers pull this game out. Sunday at 1 still. Oakland at Tennessee.
Andy. All right. Tennessee by 6.5.
Six and a half.
A lot of haves this week.
I actually think this is going to be a dogfight game to open the season. Maybe saying a lot about both teams, maybe saying nothing. But I will take Tennessee at home. They should be the more talented team. Vince Young just wins, baby, which is kind of the Raiders' motto, is interesting. But I'll go with Vince Young. Hook 'em horns.
Yeah, Tennessee's going to win this big. Oakland is still Oakland. Al Davis still owns and runs the team.
Still wears
Forget
white jumpsuits.
Yep. Tennessee big for no reason.
Paul?
I like Oakland.
Okay.
I think they got a little something going there. It's early in the season.
They got rid of Jamarcus Russell.
They're not their typical 2-8 where hope is lost. I think they have a quarterback who's not great but capable.
Great.
They haven't had a capable quarterback in a long time, probably since Rich Gannon. I think their defense is decent. I think they can do enough to control Chris Johnson, and they pull off an upset.
I think they are going to be better this year, but they're not going to be Tennessee this week. So I got to go with the Titans. Sunday at 1, Carolina goes to the new Meadowlands Stadium and opens that place up for real against the Giants.
Giants by 6.5.
I think the Giants win and cover. I think the better all-around football team. I'm off Carolina forever. Matt Moore, no me gusta.
Yeah, I agree. Giants win this game big.
I like the Giants, but I will take the points.
What
Giants will win 6.5.
6.5.
I will take the points with Carolina to keep it close.
I'm going to take the Giants and to cover.
That's not new. He's been doing it for years.
I just don't.
It's kind of like when we decided that we were going to do spreads, and I had to start reading the games. It's not really that new.
Giants cover.
Bickering problems.
The final Sunday game at 1, except for ours, which we'll do last, is Detroit at Chicago.
Bears by 6.5, Andy.
The Chicago Bears will win and cover. I think Mike Martz, like Josh McDaniels, is a hot starter. He will put up some plays with Jay Cutler. Lions not quite there yet. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I like Chicago to win this game, too. I think Cutler will have a pretty big game against that Lions defense, even though Sue might cause some trouble for him.
Throw him down by his head.
Yeah, maybe.
Viciously.
Was that wrong?
Boy named Sue.
And
it's funny, he has now has a commercial about hunting quarterbacks in the nude and like cheap-shotting them.
Yeah.
That's what he did on the field.
So but I like
TV
the Bears
mimicking
both ways.
Reality.
This is another one of my upset specials. I'm going to take Detroit.
You like what they're doing in Detroit, do you? Schwartzy?
I like Schwartz. Yeah.
The Schwartz is with him?
And I really like Matthew Stafford.
Remember that guy Jim Schwartz on
I really, really think he's going to be a very good quarterback.
Yeah. I'm right with Paul. I'm in Detroit. I think Detroit, not saying that they're going to win their division, but they're going to finish ahead of the Bears.
Well, I don't know about that.
So third
That
place,
might be
yeah.
a little optimistic. But I think Detroit's better, and I think they're going to pull off an upset here.
All right. Let's go to the 4:15 games. There's no 4:05 games. They're all 4:15 this year.
Gotta hurry.
Is that going to be a trend?
Gotta hurry.
I don't know.
Arizona at St. Louis. Arizona at St. Louis.
Sam Chise getting four at
home. Oh, you give the Sam Chise four in his debut, and he's going to take it to the bank. They're going to win outright. They are a better football team than people are going to give it credit for. Got some nice young players making plays. Steven Jackson will play the whole game, unlike here. He will rush for a lot of yards, open things up through the air. And I'm not sold on Derek Anderson.
Well, Sam Bradford will become the better quarterback, but at the moment, Derek Anderson
Sucks.
Is the better quarterback.
Sucks.
Arizona wins this game on the road.
Okay.
Derek Anderson's a stiff.
Paul?
I like St. Louis. I'll take the home dog, and I think they'll pull off the upset and win outright.
I agree with Paul. St. Louis wins this game. Green Bay at Philadelphia, Andy.
Eagles getting three at home in the Kevin Cobb sort of number one guy debut.
This is a huge trend game. It starts a big trend of the Packers on the way to the Super Bowl and Andy Reid on his way out of Philadelphia. He made a bad swap at quarterback. Mm. Not sold on the new guy. Packers win easy.
Yep, I think so too. Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers is going to start his MVP campaign week one.
Paul? I like the Packers too. I agree with Andy, but not about Kevin Cobb. I think he is going to be pretty good, and I don't think that Reid made the wrong choice, but I think Green Bay is just a better football team.
I agree with Paul. Green Bay wins this game.
I agree with Paul.
Get a new line.
San Francisco at Seattle.
What time it is now.
At Seattle.
San Francisco at Seattle. Pete Carroll getting three in his return to the NFL.
He's pumped and jacked. He's
which stands for not for long in his case because he's inept.
Much like the Houston Texans, I think the San Francisco 49ers get off to a nice start here and kind of set themselves up as the team maybe to beat in that division. Obviously, it's not as impressive as knocking off the Colts, but I think they get off to a hot start, and Pete gets a rude awakening in week one.
I think this is going to be a dogfight of a game. What's the number again, Paul?
Three. Seattle getting three at home.
Yeah, San Fran will win this game by just more than three. They'll just barely beat the spread. It's going to be a tight game, seesaw game.
Yeah, I like the Niners. I picked them to win the division, so if I do that, I think they have to beat a team like Seattle.
Using that logic, he has to pick them to win because he picked them to go to the Super Bowl.
But I think they have to win the division, you have to win a game on the road against the team that you have more talent than.
I agree with Paul. San Francisco wins the game, but they do not cover. This game goes into overtime, and it actually turns out to be the week's best game.
What? They're going to win by a safety?
Evidently, they're going to block a punt. It's going to go out the end zone.
Well, you said 3.5.
No, I said three.
Oh, then three. Then it doesn't go into overtime. San Francisco wins by a point, let's say.
Okay.
Oh, God.
This is the Sunday night game.
Uh-oh, we're going long.
Dallas at Washington.
Only four more games left.
Dallas at Washington.
Skins getting 3.5 at home.
It's not enough. I don't like Don McNabb. I don't like where they're going. I don't like the way they're using some old guys to try to get it done, running back,
Andy
quarterback.
Reid made the wrong choice.
Well, you know I think McNabb sucks. One of the most overrated players in the history of the National Football
League. He's talking fast again. He's trying to get
games.
He got mad at me. He got mad at me. I could tell.
Dallas Cowboys get off to a nice start here.
Yep. Cowboys, better team. I'd even say better quarterback at this point.
Oh, God,
career.
Yeah. Although, it's a matchup of my most two overrateds from the last 2 years.
Yeah, very overrated.
I think Dallas is a far superior team. My only concern here is that whole Redskins-Cowboys thing. It seems like the Redskins have their number. That's my only concern. I actually was thinking about taking Dallas a knockout, but I'm a little scared of that rivalry thing. But I like Dallas in this game.
Yeah, I got to go with Dallas. All right. Monday night, 7 o'clock. There's a doubleheader Monday night. The first game is Baltimore at the Jets. This is going to be a bloodbath. What do you think, Andy? And what's the number?
2.5. Jets by 2.5.
Two and a hay.
Oh, I'll take the points and take the Ravens on the road. I think the Ravens are the better all-around football team. I think they're playing better heading into the season. I think they have the makings of a very good offense if Flacco is, you know, progressing mm-hmm. in his role as a quarterback. Ray Rice is a star. Defensively, I still think they have enough, and Jets can go eat cheeseburgers next week on the practice
field. I agree. Overall, Baltimore's the better team, and on the road against this overmatched Jets offense, the Ravens win the game.
Okay.
I like the Jets in this game, although I agree with everything Andy said about the Ravens' offense. I think it's going to be a very good offense this year. I think that home Monday night crowd for the Jets will be just enough to get them by.
Fireman Ed.
And I think they'll be all whooped up and ready to go.
They'll be gone defense, by the middle of the third quarter.
The defense will win the game for them.
No, I disagree with you, Paul.
Yeah, I'm stunned by that.
I think Baltimore's
with the Buffalo I already put in for the Miami game, and the Jets the Baltimore I put in for the Jets game.
I think
it'll be really tough to figure out where Fred's going to go in the AFC East this year.
I think the Baltimore is going to win this game.
The Baltimore,
and for exactly the reason Andy and Eric said, they're the better all around team. And
I'm not sure I disagree with that. I think that Baltimore is better than the Jets.
No,
I picked the Jets, but I'm saying I agree with you guys. You guys all said that you thought.
Okay,
Baltimore
Monday night, 10:15. This might be a game I don't get to see the end of. San Diego.
I definitely won't see the end.
10 o'clock.
I'm lucky if
weekend.
I see the start.
See
of this
the beginning
one.
Of it. Exactly.
San Diego at Kansas City.
Chiefs by getting 4.5.
4.5.
I'm going to take the Chargers to win, but I'm going to take the points. I think the Chiefs are going to put up a fight at least early in this season. I think Matt Castle's got a little more to work with, and I'm just rooting for him. And I think the Chargers, for a team that's been among the best in football for a while, I think they have a lot of questions as to who they are, what they are. A lot of turnover there, a lot of change, a lot of contract uncertainty.
What's that number again, Paul?
Four.
4.5.
And a half.
Oh.
And a half.
Chargers are my Super Bowl team. They're gonna win big enough on this day.
I was thinking of the Chargers for a knockout as well, and if I watch any of the game, that would be the only reason. I also agree that Kansas City has improved, but Chargers win this game and they cover.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs to win this game, after which Scott Pioli declares that he is the best GM ever.
That's a good pick because the Chargers always seem to get out of the gates slow.
And he does a chest bump with somebody.
Yeah.
So all right,
kills them.
Let's go back to Sunday at 1 and here at Gillette Stadium. Cincinnati traveling to Foxborough, take on the Patriots. What's the number?
Patriots by 4.5.
4.5.
Whew. I think this is an interesting game, as I've said all offseason. I think it's a big key to the way this season unfolds. Maybe like the start of the Ravens game last year. This could be that, but for the season, for this team, I don't like the matchup. I think the Bengals have a good running game. I think they're going to be able to run the ball. I think they have a new-look passing game that's going to be able to complete some passes on this young pass defense. And I think they have a good physical defense that'll do enough to disrupt this passing game, especially with two corners that match up. I think they have the makings of a terrible matchup for the Patriots, and I think the Bengals will win this outright.
Patriots offense, much improved from last year, I think. Defense has taken a little bit of a step back. I like what I saw in the Rams game. As I said earlier, there's going to be high-scoring games on both sides all season. It's going to be another one of these. Bengals win the game.
I like the Patriots to win the game, largely because they're at home. And I'm not sold on Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati has good personnel, but I think they've had good personnel in the past. They haven't really always been able to put it together. And I'm not sure that they can put two good seasons in a row. I agree with the analysis that Andy and Eric had, but I think the Patriots' offense will put pressure on Cincinnati to match. Even though they're playing against a defense they should be able to match against, I think they'll turn the ball over at a critical juncture. I like the Patriots 28-24, so I'm going to take the Bengals to cover by a half a point.
I think if it's that close, I think the Patriots won't win. I think they're going to have to.
Wow, where what? Planet
it's a whole new world order here.
When
that
Fred
close
says
games, close. Patriots don't win.
If it's close, the Patriots won't win. What planet are we on?
I think the Patriots are going to need something to happen.
Blah, 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 blah.
You know, turnovers, and I think they'll win. They'll cover, and you know they'll win by about 10 points. You know, but it will mask some of the defensive problems that do exist. You know, on the team, but they will win this game. Couple of the fans will make some noise, so that'll be nice. And
68,000 strong here. It sounds like
Patriots are
17,000.
Patriots will have yet another successful home opener here at Gillette Stadium. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition.
I don't get to make my picks, Fred.
Jeez. Oh, Kevin, no. we
no,
all.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I guess not.
28-17 Pats.
Oh, for this game, 28-17.
Yep. Oh, you're picking the Patriots by 11. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, good, good, good. All right,
Homer.
Maybe we should have you do all the picks.
We can next week.
Well, why don't you give Paul?
No, we shouldn't.
Write it down.
No, we don't need him.
All right. Boy, no respect the kid gets.
We were going to add a listener, not
the
producer.
Apparently, I was accused all day yesterday of sucking up to Andy, which, you know, this is another illustration of how that doesn't happen.
All right. Well, that's it for this edition of PFW Progress. We will be watching the Patriots on Sunday with you all. I'm going to be doing curse words again. So that's back up. The blog, is back up on Patriots.com.
Fans will be happy.
So I'll be doing that. I'll be back in the press box with you.
All right.
First time this year.
John Rook will be doing another Patriots. First
John Rook will be
for his 25th season.
In the announcing booth. And, John, you got Russell Baxter coming
up. I wasn't
sure
he was still
Russell's
alive.
Here, and Joseph Reedy from the Cincinnati Inquirer.
Oh, good.
Oh, Joe.
So he Reedy and Righty a little bit?
Reedy and Righty.
All right. All right, well, that's going to do it. We'll see you next Tuesday. Took every ounce of heart, sweat, and blood. Get to wear those game day jerseys down the hall.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
No, God, no.
Patriots.com Radio.